Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday, June 11th, 2026. The Pentagon is under total lockdown under potential chemical attack. Trump says he's obliterating Iran tomorrow.
The Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news, today.
Transmission with huge guests lined up for you today. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. Share those live feeds with Alex Jones on X and Rumble right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
And don't forget, AlexJonesLive.com.
Right now, Harris, we have a statement that just came out from the Pentagon, from Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell. I'll read it for our audience. It says, quote, "The Pentagon has sophisticated systems to ensure the safety of the building and its occupants. These systems have detected an air quality issue necessitating precautionary measures until we determine its significance. The department is executing standard protection protocols, including a shelter in place for the affected area. Response teams are in place and ready to support the building." And we just learned from Arlington County Fire Department, they have dispatched some hazmat units to the Pentagon on any given day. Harris, you mentioned there's about 20,000 people at the Pentagon, the largest office building in the United States, one of the largest office buildings in the world. For now, this appears to be a detection issue. No verification that there is, in fact, actual hazardous material. We learned that some areas of the Pentagon are being scrubbed down. But, of course, anybody walking into the Pentagon, whether you're, you work there, you've been cleared. The public, the general public cannot just walk into the Pentagon, and certainly anyone carrying any hazardous material, you would think would be detected. But tour groups, there are some tour groups that do go through the Pentagon. Those names, again, are scrubbed, before entering the Pentagon. So, right now this appears to be an alarm. We have no confirmation that there's actually hazardous material inside the Pentagon.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
Listeners, that the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the CIA, NATO, the DOJ are in public documents for at least 15 years targeting me. And, of course, InfoWars, that they've been somewhat successful shutting down. We're not sure yet. But we're in a backup position here and expanding at the Alex Jones Network. But just remember, I know what I'm talking about. My guests know what we're talking about. Our callers know what they're talking about. And the system that is anti-human does not like this broadcast. And I am very honored that the SPLC 15, 16 years ago had big reports out saying he's the John the Baptist in the wilderness of the Tea Party. He's radicalizing the Republican Party through Ron Paul and others. And they tracked it and done polls. And they said if Jones is allowed to continue on, they can overthrow the establishment. Now, Trump has acted like he's with us. He's done a lot that is for the people. He's gone sideways, obviously. But none of us should be demoralized by the fact that he's gone sideways. His first 6 months, he got more done than I thought he would. Then he went sideways. So we need to just be positive about all that and realize that it's we the people that brought this fight, not Trump. We'll continue on regardless. Now, we have got unbelievable news today. It is so crazy and so bizarre and so wild. It's just, I'll tell you about it all when we come back. But remember, you are the Paul Revere's. You hold all the power of our destiny. Share the live feeds now on X and Real Alex Jones at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show live and on my site, AlexJonesLive.com.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This broadcast, that means all of you, the listeners and viewers, all of us together are the tip of the spear, recognized by the good guys and the bad guys as the most hardcore pro-human anti-globalist organization on the planet. I salute and thank you all, but this is not a game. This is total war. Let's go to the live show headline. Then I'm going to go through the news on the plate and all the breaking news and the huge guests that are coming up in this magnificently important transmission. Here's the live show feed headline at AlexJonesLive.com. The new coordinates of the resistance, the next phase of the info war, AlexJonesLive.com, with all the audio and video feeds, live feeds of the show, and more. Thursday live, Pentagon under lockdown, potential chemical attack. Trump pledges to obliterate Iran tomorrow, declares victory for the 39th time. It's actually more than that. 47 says, I love inflation. Bill Gates grilled on Epstein ties in Congress. Just came out minutes ago. 70-plus Jewish girls found in tunnels under New York. I wrote that headline before I went live. We should probably change it to Tunnels Under New York. talk about a mystery. This is getting weirder and weirder and weirder. And it's the same Jewish sect, ultra-Zionist, that got caught with all the kids underground and dirty mattresses. I mean, this is not looking good. These are 70 girls, ages like 10, it looks like 15, dressed nicely, lost underground, saved by police. What the hell is it? Just this is bizarro world. I've got theories about what it could be. They always call me the conspiracy theorist. 99% of what we do is not even theory. It's just what's out there. But people don't know about it usually. But this is bizarre. So we're going to get into that. Again, Trump and his Iran stuff is just insane. J.D. Vance has said that Netanyahu's been wrong about a lot of stuff and basically sucked us into this war, which Rubio said day one was the case. So that all looked like off-ramping by Trump. And I talked to people behind the scenes, and they said, no, he definitely wants to end it. But now he's right back to, I'm going to obliterate them tomorrow. They're totally defeated. I've destroyed them, but we're going to destroy them tomorrow. Just the same word salad, flip-flopping, incongruent stuff. And then he did another whopper today. He said, I love inflation, when they brought up the high inflation. And by the way, he was starting to reverse it the first year, but now that we've got this war for 106 days or whatever it is, it's only getting worse. It's record growth, derailing our recovery plan, the world's recovery. BlackRock is so pleased. And he, we'll play the clip in a few minutes, came out and said, oh, well, we grabbed 20 of their ships full of oil, so I'm not worried about inflation down the road. 20 ships of oil will not move the needle on inflation globally 1%. I mean, they're just, I can have economists on. We have one today. I'll get their opinion, but I know that. We're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars of inflation caused with 30% of the oil and fertilizer and all the rest of the stuff cut off. You see the numbers. Trillions in inflation globally. Hundreds and hundreds of billions of added cost here just in the last 106 days of this war. What does 20 ships of oil He's like, it's okay, I got their oil. And then he goes, and I'm going into Kirk Island tomorrow. I know you don't want boots on the ground. I know Americans can't stomach it, but we don't need many troops to take Kirk Island. Now, I think that's a bargaining chip. He's threatening them because that's their main oil shipping depot. But I think that you will see if this continues on. Let's just say this. It's on the board, and they got the airborne ready in Israel and the Marines out on those amphibious mini aircraft carriers. By many, I mean they're half the size of one of the big aircraft carriers. There's nothing mini about it. They got them out there floating around ready to go into Kirk Island. And I bet he's going to wait till the 250th anniversary on July 4th. And then I think a few days after July 4th, there's a ground invasion if a deal isn't made. And Iran knows they hold a lot of the cards and is being belligerent and I think unwise. And even Middle Eastern analysts are saying that. There was a clip yesterday about that on yesterday's list. Find that. I want to play that. It was on Mariano DeFall. Had a Middle Eastern guest on, expert, who's against the war, but was saying, and now Iran's really pushing it here. And I agree. And yeah, the West is in the wrong starting this and Israel dragging us in. But now that we're in these negotiations, Iran knows they're cornered, but under attrition war is winning with the strait closed. And so they're a big part of the problem. Now, Netanyahu has finally come out after saying he wouldn't and says, okay, he'll stop attacking Lebanon. And he has for now. We'll see how long that holds. But, well, we'll be getting into that. Then Bill Gates testified secretly to Congress the last 2 days. But Congress has released his opening statement. He got confronted leaving Congress. We have that video. Quote, I confronted Satanist Bill Gates on Capitol Hill today. They've also had SPLC hearings that have almost gotten zero attention in the corporate press, but I had our intrepid crew go grab some of the highlights of it. Pretty amazing. And they've had superseding indictments, meaning they've beefed up and added more evidence to the indictments. An additional $5 million they found of money given to the KKK and all the major white supremacist groups to carry out violence. So pretty powerful stuff there. Wow. Also, Governor Whitmer caught on hot mic, talking about the data centers, saying we're used to people saying no and doing it anyway and laughing. We've got that. We've got the big releases, IPOs with Elon Musk and other big AI companies and SpaceX and a whole bunch of stuff happening tomorrow. Iran threatens Elon Musk Gulf area Starlink ground stations in suspicious timing ahead of SpaceX IPO. We're going to be getting to all of that. Bessent pulls trigger on using frozen funds to reimburse Gulf allies. Iran will pay. You've got mass uprisings, particularly in Belfast, Ireland, but around Northern Ireland and in the UK, in England, and in Scotland as well. There's been a firebomb thrown and catching the front door and home of an imam in London. And I've watched the video, and you can't be 100% looking at it, but a lot of data goes into it. So I'll show you how my brain works when we look at it. And it's not 100%, but you have to look at any of these potential false flags. The left are experts at false flagging themselves. Most of the time, it is a false flag, but to play victim. But people are legitimately pissed, and these burning migrant centers in Belfast and cars being burned and different homes with the invaders in them being firebombed is real. And you look at this video, I'll analyze whether or not, just from that, whether it's a false flag. And I'll tell you, first approximation, no, it looks real. And I'll give you the telltale signs of this. And I really don't think that that's a good way to respond to this. Firebombing, you know, the individual homes of these people, it just turns them into the victims. But when the Muslims burn down all the churches and burn down homes, it gets covered up. Now you're going to see massive hype about this, obviously. And Starmer basically is already threatening martial law, digital martial law, over this, and that's what they've been pushing the population into. But I think Starmer and then the other globalists around Europe with running the replacement migration invasion have bit off more than they can chew. And I think in the end, as they start trying to crack down on the public, this is going to blow up in their face. And whereas I don't really like offensive violence, they're already under attack, so it's really defensive. But at the same time, there's always a great danger in a violent revolution that'll be co-opted. They generally are about 90% of the time. But at a certain point, that's just where we are. And if you look at the tea leaves, I think if there is a violent revolution in Europe, which it's going into, I think the globalists long-term will lose. And like I said, a bit off a lot more than they can chew. We also have the Carmelo Anthony fallout a few days into it. If I wanted to, we should put a compilation out. It's the easiest way to do it. I could play you 100 videos of even prominent black people and white people saying that the man that was stabbed to death by Carmelo Anthony deserved it. You've got Jasmine Crockett basically saying that, saying she'd stab him. And this is just total mindlessness. While we're all being geoengineered with the toxic geoengineering, the chemtrailing, we're all being hit with poison shots, 5G, GMO, world government, inflation, war, and we're busy fighting with each other and obsessing, as the media focuses on it, on some trial. But we're going to be looking at that as well. Also, you literally can't make this up. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass' own brother joins massive lawsuit against the city over Palisades fire. We are now almost 18 months, a year and a half, into the fires being over, clear stand down, and still 99% of people have not been allowed to rebuild. And they're telling folks, we're just going to take your property and hand it over to a 15-minute city thing the governor's running with his buddies. And even city employees and firefighters and police officers and a ton of black people, and you name it, are being screwed here. And their own families are suing them going, what the hell is this? So it's just not going to hold together, folks. Again, they've bit off more than they can chew. And, of course, she just stole the election bigger than Dallas over there. That's the way this works. The Pentagon was locked down. They thought it could be a potential chemical attack. Sensors picked up a suspicious signature, chemical signature. Now they're saying it was a false alarm. CNN saying sources claim they're still not sure. But we'll be looking at that as more definitive information comes out today. And much more. We have Robert Barnes, incredible lawyer and historian, to cover the waterfront with us at 1 p.m. today. We will have open phones in the fourth hour. I pledge to take more calls, so I love them. And we also have economist Kirk Elliott popping in for 30 minutes at the start of the next hour with just the incredible economic numbers that are coming out. It's so sad. Trump's original recovery plan was as close to perfect as you could get, according to all the economists I talked to in my own analysis. That's why I was cheerleading, just absolutely foaming at the mouth, supporting Trump. Until about a year ago, I started getting concerned. I still support the good stuff he does, but there's still good economic numbers from the decisions he made early on coming in, but that's being suppressed and overwritten with a wet blanket of the terrible situation. I mean, if half the farmers in the U.S., according to the big farming bureau and the different federal departments, can't get the fertilizer they need and the diesel's too expensive, and we're in a better position than pretty much any country in the world for fertilizer and fuel, can you imagine what it's like in other parts of the world? This is a death sentence for people. And there's all these chemicals and all these fertilizers and helium and all this stuff that comes out of the Middle East and it comes out of other areas through that strait. And it's just devastating. And so I'll hit this first. Here is Trump in the Oval Office today saying, quote, I love inflation. Now, you can say he's joking, but, I mean, he never clarifies. And remember, he said, I'm not worried at all. I don't even think about the average American's economic problems. Okay? And before, he said, I don't think about Medicare and Medicaid. Why am I worried about that? We're a war economy now. We thought it was all about not having war and focusing on America first, the economy. So, again, I want to support Trump, but, I mean, he didn't used to make, and no, by the way, Trump is not stupid. And even though he's older and obviously more burnt out, I mean, hell, I'm older and more burnt out. He knows these statements are destructive. And so everybody I talk to, I asked Stuart Rose yesterday, why the hell is he making these statements? Oh, I love inflation. What about the terrible inflation? Oh, I love it. I love it. And then he goes into how great it is that we grab 20 ships as if that's going to counterbalance it. Here it is.
Are you concerned, Mr. President, about the latest inflation number which came out this morning? Could that be a...
No, I love it. The numbers were great. You know what I really love? I love the inflation. You know why? Because as soon as this war is over, you know, I can say it now, something you didn't know. Do you know we've been taking out millions of barrels of oil? Nobody knows it. You know who doesn't know about it? Iran, until right now. We took out the other night 22 ships late at night with no lights because they don't have any radar because we blasted the crap out of it. We took out, that's why oil's $85 a barrel. I mean, you take a look.
Go ahead.
When you're negotiating with Iran, Mr. President, to what extent are American financial situations motivating you to make a deal?
Not even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about American financial situation. I don't think about anybody. I think about one thing. We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. That's all. That's the only thing that matters.
But we're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things. They can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection.
The White House with a bit of a walk back on that today, saying the president's record proves he will always protect and strengthen Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Okay, so if you do the numbers, depending on how big these ships are, and who knows if it's even true what he's talking about, they grabbed 20 ships. He said that before. We've grabbed a bunch of ships. They've grabbed a bunch of ships from Venezuela going to Cuba. Okay, that we know that's true. But then a lot of the ships, he said, that we grabbed, they just let go through to India and China. So some of it's true, some of it's not. I don't think he even knows. He gets reports. It all just mixes together. I don't think he's even trying to be deceptive here. He obviously doesn't even care what people think. But let's say these are super oil tankers. I mean, you can have $1 billion of oil on those. But they've already drained 66 million barrels. And if you do the math, I guarantee you, just look it up. How much does a super oil tanker carry? How many millions of barrels? But you do the math, he's like, oh, we are grabbing this oil and we're going to, what are you going to sell it? You're going to bring it back here? It's like his tariffs. That the Supreme Court shot all of it down. Now we have to pay hundreds of billions of dollars back. By the way, it was constitutional. The Supreme Court told him the way these executive orders were done was wrong. The Supreme Court told him. Kavanaugh and others said, just change it, reissue it this way. He didn't even do that. Because Luddnick wrote it when he bet against the tariffs for him and his sons to make tens of billions of dollars off the insurance. I mean, Luddnick is an absolute villain. He did insider trading on 9/11, the record insider trading on United and American Airlines. Yeah, so a super tanker carries anywhere between 2 and 3 million barrels. So what's 20 times 3? What's 20 times 3? We know what that is. That's 60 million barrels. Now, let's compare that to what's been drawn out of the strategic oil supply. They've gotten 65 to 70 million barrels out of it. So that just comes up even on that. Even if you don't sell the oil or they can magically put it back here in the U.S. So how does, oh, don't worry about inflation when it causes inflation to everything they're shipping through there. It is in the trillions of dollars. But he's telling you, oh, I grabbed some ships. So that's going to negate all this when it's already built in the unsurety, the insecurity economy, the planting season not getting a third of the fertilizer, the shockwaves are going to go out for over a year. And then Trump comes out and makes these statements that he loves inflation. I mean, look, it's the dumbest stuff you could say. And again, nobody analyzes this stuff. We just did it on air, just on one issue of these ships. And let's just believe everything he's saying. They're all super tankers, which they're not all super tankers. We know that. Let's say we've got custody of them. Let's say they've sailed back here and dumped at the Strategic Oil Reserve. That just brings us back even there. And yes, draining the National Oil Reserve, Strategic Oil Reserve, does mitigate gas prices some. They've only gone up 48%. They're saying they'd be up like 75% if they hadn't done that. And the oil companies warned it's running out. They're running out. And in 3 weeks, they said a week ago, so that's 2 weeks from now, a 30 to 40% increase on top of the 40-plus percent increase. We're talking 70, 80% increase. And then that derails the entire economy. I know everybody knows this, but people ask, how do I come up with the stuff I say? I'm like, okay, well, let's start looking at some numbers. Let's just check strategic oil reserve draining, what these ships could carry, if they're all the biggest. Doesn't even come up even on that. And then I'm not here trying to put Trump down. It's just not going to work. People know how much stuff costs. People know prices are way up. You know, first he was telling us a month ago, inflation's not a problem, inflation's not high. Everybody knows that's horse crap. So why not just say, hey, it's going to go down soon. We're going to fix it. It's going to be okay. As soon as this is over, which he's been saying, it'll get taken care of. But then he keeps declaring victory and saying it's over tomorrow, that it's not over tomorrow. Instead, he goes the other extreme and says, I love inflation. Well, let me say, I don't like it. I mean, I was never anywhere as near as rich as the media said I was. They exaggerated like 100 times. But, I mean, I got to a point where I was not watching my bills properly and getting ripped off on this, ripped off on that, lawn care, you name it, stuff like that. Being under bankrupt and a budget and all this, I've learned to not having hardly any money, which is kind of fun. It was most of my life like that. I'm out watching everything now, and man, I'm seeing it, and I'm feeling the pain, baby. So, I mean, I literally go out to a restaurant with the family and get the special just because it's, you know, you do that, it kind of adds up. You know, I still go out to eat a lot, but, you know, it's, I like to cook at home too, but I mean, we go out to eat, I'm like, yeah, let's not get the lobster. Okay. You got to get the chicken fried steak over there. I mean, I what I'm saying is I'm with you. I get it. And I was so happy a year ago, boy, gassing up, it was down by half. I'm like, God, I was paying almost $4 under Biden, and man, I was like $2. This is incredible. Now it's $4 again. Now it's about to go way back up. What is that going to do to the midterms while Trump is over there telling us everything is perfect, everything is wonderful when you're part of a team? It's literally the Lego movie theme song. Everything is wonderful. Everything is awesome when you're part of a team. Like, why don't we come in with the Lego Everything is Awesome music video? Because I guess that's just what I'm supposed to do. It's 3D chess. Everything's fine. Let's all just trust the plan, and we're going to be A-okay. And just let Israel. We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks into their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Gosh, I love this song.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool with the pilot team. Everything is awesome. Living on the team.
Always use a turn signal. Park between the lines. Yes! Drop off dry cleaning before noon. Read the headlines. Don't forget to smile. Always root for the local sports team.
Go sports team!
Always return a compliment. Hey, you look nice.
So do you.
Drink overpriced coffee.
There you go. That's $37.
What, awesome!
Everything is awesome.
Did you see Where Are My Pants last night?
Buddy! Where are my pants?
Classic episode.
Everything is awesome.
Instructions coming in from Central. Okay, it says here, take
everything
weird and blow it up. All right, Bill, go ahead. I think it looks exactly like it does in the instructions. Hey, buddy, I need a
1x2
keyhole.
No problem, Michael. There's
2x2
macaroni over here.
2x2 macaroni flying in. Here's one, Mel. T-slope, come on, everybody.
Roger that, Roger.
We're live, coming at you.
Can I get a couple warps over here?
Thanks, Gail.
Hey, guys, watch me drill this down.
And Trump says he loves inflation. He's not worried about the average American's economic problems. He doesn't care about Medicare and Medicaid.
I can sing this song for hours.
I want Trump to succeed. Why the hell is he saying stuff like that? I would be Trump's biggest enemy if I went, that's great, Mr. President. Keep saying more stuff like that. That's going to really help in the midterms. Why is he doing that? I don't know the answer. It's crazy. Because he has these cogent speeches, sounds great, and then just mixes in. What's he going to say next? It's absolutely insane. Now, I'm going to get to Bill Gates in the congressional hearings, the SPLC congressional hearings. I'm going to get to some really important stuff because we got to remember the mad scientist globalists up above this and the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, running the white supremacist groups and how evil the left is. Now the left is overrunning Europe with Muslims, overrunning us here. We spend our time bitching about Trump because we need to get him back on track, or at least try. That's our job. But we got to remember, it's the Democrats stealing elections. They're 10 times worse. But we're not like the Democrats where they worship their party and totally defend it. When our party has got problems, we talk about it. And that's what I stand for. I just cover the issues, call balls and strikes. If you want somebody that's going to just bash Trump all day, you got the wrong guy. You want somebody that's going to just worship him all day, got the wrong guy. I'm just, all I know how to do in this complex world is just report the facts. You make up your own mind, research my claims, see if you think I'm accurate. I'm striving to be accurate, and we're about as accurate as you're going to get. The United States will be hitting Iran, whose Navy, Air Force, radar, and aircraft, and all other forms of defense together with most of its offensive capability are gone. Very hard tonight. He said yesterday, I'll hit him tomorrow. What's today? At some point in the not-too-distant future, we will be taking Karg Island and other oil infrastructure points and assume total control of the oil and gas markets, much like we have with Venezuela, which is working out brilliantly for both Venezuela and the United States of America. Thank you for attention to this matter. And see, I was worried when he did Venezuela. I said constitutionally he has the right to do it. Went through the Monroe Doctrine and the gunboat diplomacy doctrine and the Barbary Pirate War doctrine of Thomas Jefferson. I said, but I still am concerned it will embolden him for other regime change, and that might not go as well. And then they'll just put people in worse, like they always do, and they put the vice president, who's even worse commie than Maduro, in. Okay, they're following our orders right now. I mean, is that what America does? We put in dictators? I mean, come on, people. We can't become what we're fighting. Now, that's the last thing I want to hit on Iran. We'll hit it in a few minutes. Is he went on a couple Fox shows this morning, and he said, America doesn't have the stomach for ground troops, but I'm getting ready to do it in Karg Island, and we don't need many. Really, the Pentagon says you need a lot, because that island is going to get attacked. They've got short-range weapons up the you-know-what that we're not going to be able to stop. And you think an Apache helicopter getting shot down was bad, that'll be a cakewalk. It is a death trap. With over 100,000 Iranian troops on those islands and around those mountains and cliffs around it, it's like it was, to use a Star Trek analogy, the Kobayashi Maru, an impossible scenario. 2,000, 3,000-foot sheer cliffs, small beaches, whole bunch of islands with troops and bases, underground pillboxes, and just like Hamas, underground labyrinths. Took the Israelis years to take that. Huge casualties, billions and billions of dollars of weapons. And Trump says on Fox, oh, we won't need many troops to do it. Which I told you, remember, they fired the head of the army. He said, sir, you need 100,000 troops for the strait itself. Karg Island, there's not an assessment that's public, but if it took 31,000 Marines and sailors to take Iwo Jima, just one island they took, defended by 23,000 Japanese, we lost 24,000 people taking one island, then you think 3,000 Marines and 8,000 airborne are going to do it? And again, I'm sure they'll take Karg Island with heavy casualties, but then they're sitting ducks with missile bases and artillery miles away. And yeah, we'll blow that up. The Iranians will fire. They'll run off from the artillery. We'll blow the artillery up. And then they'll just pop up in another artillery position. And then what do you think is going to happen once we get our troops pinned down in Karg Island? It's going to be full commitment. That's why the Navy refused to bring ships through, because they knew they'd be targets. And they've got high-tech Chinese anti-ship missiles that we can't stop, that are hypersonic. So not a good situation. I'm going to finish up with that in a moment and then shift gears into all the other news. But again, let me tell you about something I'm extremely excited about. And this is this bad boy right here. I've been on air 32 years. And the first big sponsor I had about 29 years ago on talk radio was a stainless steel gravity-fed filter that was the highest rated at the time. And people love them, and they're great, and it cuts out all the forever chemicals in the garbage to non-detectable levels. And back then when I said there was all these toxic chemicals in the water, people said, oh, you're crazy, even though it was a fact. And now they admit the water supply in this country is a toxic soup of thousands of horrible chemicals in the worst areas, hundreds in most areas. The atrazine, the, I mean, it just goes on and on. The glyphosate, you name it. So, Bigley, our sponsor, a couple years ago said, what do you think the store should sell other than T-shirts and supplements and knives? And I said, water filtration. But I said, quite frankly, I know all the big makers, and there are some that have the highest rated filters, but they've gotten cheap and don't even have stainless steel anymore and have a bunch of problems, and they leak, and it's just, I'd gotten rid of the sponsors because their quality had gone down. And these were the best companies. So I said, go out. Here's the top manufacturers. Go make it. I want the highest specs. I want it, you know, top third-party tested. Took them 2 years. And you'll see in these tests, some of these tests from the filters are a year ago to come up with this. This came in, and I am blown away. Highest rated double carbon filter. It's not just two filters. It's double carbon each filter is. This is the Rolls-Royce. Non-detectable, 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 meaning it's all cut out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these spectrometers and things, you're legally not supposed to say it's all out. You say non-detectable. But this is as good as it gets. And then when it comes to the quality of the stainless steel, it's the highest rated stainless steel. It's beautiful. Goes in your kitchen, goes in your business, goes in your cabin. This is a 3 gallon system. I told him, I said, now we want to get a 1 gallon too. A lot of people want something smaller for their RV or whatever. And it's very fast flow as well. This is amazing. I am so proud of this. And they posted at thealexjonesstore.com the test, the documents. But look at this. This is the NSF International, one of the top testing firms in the country. They also had VOMNX test it all out. So this has all been double tested, and I'm telling you, non-detectable, 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 everything. Just, it's unbelievable. But to cover our ass, we just say 99.9%. Because you know, the spectrometers can't find anything, you're still not allowed to say nothing. But the point is, if you want to do one thing for your health and your longevity and your family, it is get a gravity-fed filter that's highest rated. Now, they have crappy ones that are 10, but still have the good filters that cost $400, $450 at REI, stores, you name it, when they discount them $350. Nobody is putting something out this nice, this beautiful, with filters this good for anywhere near what we are. Now, here's the bad part. There's only like 100 left right now at thealexjonesstore.com, but that's okay. In 2 weeks from the factory, they're getting 5,000 more in. So you want to get to the head of the line. Right now, you're still ordering it shipped to you like tomorrow. But in a few hours, it'll be officially sold out. You'll be on the waiting list, but you just pay. It supports the broadcast. And then it's shipped out to you right when it gets in, and it funds the operation. So this is the game changer, because I need a lot of funds to finish the big studio, hire more hosts, more reporters. We want to be bigger than ever. We want to go on the offense. And this is a win-win, because we can give somebody something that's highest rated, that's beautiful, that is the best in the industry. And I don't just say that. I was going to say, oh, this is at the top. This is as good as anything out there. This came in with the test, and this is the beauty of this. And I looked at the highest rated, highest grade stainless steel. The spigot, the other ones are like $400 with plastic spigots and like tin and like rubber around the top and rubber tops. And plat. I mean, look at this. It's all stainless steel. This, nope. And I remember when I was first promoting stuff, it was close to this, but not as good. So everybody got cheap with this stuff. Bigley knocked it out of the park again. This is a hit, and it's something that everybody needs. Everybody should be filtering their water. If you think bottled water's safe, you're giving your kids tap water, you're doing that, you're nuts. Everybody needs this. It's the healthiest thing you can do to take control of your life. Fill up bottles up when you go to work every day, whatever. And then you're healthy and you're supporting this broadcast as we clean up America and the world from the satanic globalist culture. So you fund being healthier, getting clean water, 70+% of your body's water, absolutely essential. And then you get all the forever chemicals out, and then you fund this operation. This is a win-win. So everybody that wants to support the show, commit now. Go get the strongest, ultimate quality, the best looking unit right now. At thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we're able to stay on the air in the face of the globalist. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm done talking about that, but it really is a big deal. And oh, by the way, while you're on the site, there is a massive sale going on that only runs until Sunday at midnight. It is the end of spring mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Life Force, the spike protein cardiovascular detox booster that everybody should be taking, that is the strongest, best formula out there, period. We take the two top-rated best-selling formulas, put them together. Nobody comes even close to this. It's 50% off. 40% off methylene red, atomic defense immune booster, methylene blue tincture, methylene blue gummies, so incredible, MK Ultra brain booster, and more zeolite tinctures, creatine powder of the highest quality, CMOS capsules, methylene blue caps, the T3 iodine is the very best. It's all there, up to 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you so much for your support. Now, here's a very short but powerful little piece dealing with a take on the 1980s movie War Games, A Strange Game. The only way to win is not to play any nuclear war. Well, how about AI? Here it is. We'll be back. Stay with us.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
Join the InfoWar today. Share the live feeds at Relaunch Shows on X and on Rumble at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Very simple proposal.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
It's simple. The broadcast is exposing the globalists. It's having a huge effect. Share it. And tell those you share it to share it. You've got all the power. That's why I keep calling them to take action. You've been doing it. Great job. Those that haven't, what are you doing? We're in this together. And then get this water filtration system. It's the highest rated. It's the lowest price. It's an insanely good deal. Commit to fund the show. Commit to be healthy yourself. That is the win-win here that we're talking about. Here's Trump on Fox today talking about ground troops in Iran.
There will be more bombing tonight. It'll be a bigger, more powerful. Don't forget, we've knocked out all of their anti-aircraft. They don't have any anti, they have nothing. I mean, they may get lucky with a shoulder weapon or something, but for the most part, you know, they have no defense.
What did the representative say in your phone
call
with them?
They're finished. But the papers, the media refuses to write it. They're finished. We can walk in there tomorrow. We could take soldiers. I don't want to have boots on the ground, but if I wanted to, we could put a small group of soldiers and take over the whole place. They're finished. And the media is crooked. They're just like our elections. The media is crooked.
Mr. President, thanks so much for joining us today.
So you say you're announcing you're going to hit them very hard tonight. What went into posting that?
Well, it's just one of those things. They have no defense. They can't do anything about it. The only thing they have is fake news. You know, they have the New York Times write stories like they're doing great, and they're not. They've been wiped out. CNN and that MS Now or whatever they call it nowadays. NBC had to get rid of it because it was bad for their reputation. But the publicity that they have is incredible. It's almost like they're doing well, and they're getting decimated, just decimated, and they're dying to make a deal. They want to make a deal so badly. But, you know, you read the New York Times and you read the Wall Street Journal, which is so fake. I mean, I know you guys own it, but it's a real piece of garbage. And you read the Wall Street Journal, it's like they did an editorial today about we're not hitting them hard enough. I mean, it's just not hitting them hard enough. We dropped $250 million worth of bombs on them last night. You know, it's, the whole thing is crazy. But and they're really in submission. They just don't know it yet. Okay, to be honest with you, they just don't know it yet. And we are talking to them and all. But, you know, look, my preference has always been take Carg Island. That's been Brian knows that. I spoke to him a long time ago. Lawrence knows it. I spoke to him a long time ago. I said my preference would be that. I don't know that America has the stomach for it, to be honest with you. You're going to make a fortune. But I don't know that America has the stomach. I think they'd like to see us come home.
Now, the Pentagon has told him going into Kirk Island is a very bad idea. So the war was going to last 4 days. The regime was going to fall. The Kurds were going to rise up. None of that happened. And we're 106 days into this? 105 days into this? And he's like blaming liberal media. What do they have to do with it? Israel struck a day before us. That'd be like 105 days, 104 days, or about 104, 105 days in. And Trump goes through this cycle. It's over. We've won. Their military's defeated. Well, then why are we still there? Because they closed the Strait of Hormuz like the Pentagon told you they would. So, yeah, you can blow up their military, their offensive military, but a bunch of it's still there. But their up-close military, their defensive military, you haven't. And so they're going to keep the strait closed, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse and more pressure on you. And now, finally, the mainstream media is making fun of you. It was 38 times weeks ago. Remember, I was counting them up. That's 40-something now. I've stopped counting how many times he said they've been defeated. The war is over. I saw some real movement, you know, over the weekend. I said, maybe it is this time. I hope so. And, of course, not. Trump again says Iran's military is completely defeated after declaring victory countless times. That's at alexjoneslive.com. Iran is finished. Trump vows bigger, more powerful bombing tonight after Tehran declared ceasefire meaningless. Trump says we'll bomb the SH-T out of them tomorrow if there's no deal after dozens of Tomahawks hit Iran. Okay, big deal. We dropped 7.6 million bombs on Vietnam. We've dropped, I don't know, was it like up to 30,000 now on them? And I just showed you all the clips of him saying all of this. Meanwhile, Trump demands Congress immediately add the Save America Act to his $350 billion Pentagon reconciliation package. It only needs a simple majority vote. Yeah, that's a great idea. We need the Save Act. But the Republican Party doesn't want it because they're using some of the same election fraud on their own party people. I mean, you really think Lindsey Graham won by 25 points in South Carolina when the polls showed him neck and neck? You really think all this is really happening? Trump holds meeting on Iran's strike options after declaring the military was completely defeated. Well, they're completely defeated. How have they closed the Strait of Hormuz? They're not completely defeated. And you just heard him say that on Fox. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and go along with this horse crap. I know you aren't either. That's why he's dying in the polls and killing the midterms. Breaking, Trump threatens Iran with massive strikes tonight. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance has come out and committed sacrilege. Because if you question any Jewish leader, you're going to hell, according to the Scofield Bible and the Christian Zionist. And he has said that Netanyahu has certainly gotten some things wrong before and was wrong about how this war was going to go. Uh-huh, that's a fact. VP Vance just publicly broke with Netanyahu. Netanyahu has certainly gotten some things wrong. Well, so is everybody, right? Where that diverges, we unfortunately, for the Israelis, have to choose the side of the American people. Oh, he's talking about America first because he knows it's killing the poll numbers and his prospect in 2028. Trump reportedly called Netanyahu effing crazy over Lebanon. No, Trump's confirmed all that and said he did, and Netanyahu did it too. And now Vance is saying it on camera. This is a different Trump term. In the first one, Israel got a blank check. This time, Trump is trying to close deals on Iran, Gaza, Lebanon. Netanyahu keeps blowing them up. That's true. The alliance is no longer unconditional. And Netanyahu is starting to find out what happens when Washington stops covering for him. That's partially true, but in a way, it's more of a blank check. Because Israel demanded a lot more. They tried to get Trump to strike Iran the first time. First administration, he didn't go along with it. But Trump is starting to break with Netanyahu in reality, not just in rhetoric. But then he always just gets sucked back in because, and I talked about this. Did you guys find the clip from yesterday I didn't get to with Mariana Fall when he has the Middle Eastern expert on? I'll find it then. It's on yesterday's list. But we're going to try to play that next segment. If we can just grab that, please. Iran thinks it has all the cards. It doesn't have all the cards. It has some cards, but if it belligerently does this, the U.S. will double down. In the end, Iran is going to be destroyed. And, yeah, that's going to hurt our economy and hurt us as well. So I'm not for any of this. It is a no-win situation on so many fronts. Now, we have Bill Gates in Congress on Epstein being confronted. We have the SPLC hearings on how they run all the white supremacist organizations, new expanded charges. We have so much more, the economy, what's happening, Robert Barnes coming up next hour. We have got one hell of a second, third, and fourth hour. Open phones in the fourth hour today as well. We'll be right back.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. F that, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach? In California, Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. That is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack, a massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the Sea Moss capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I like to play my music and have good time. I love to hear an old train rolling down the line. I am into happy and I don't like sad.
And I like to have women.
I like to have women I've never had.
Well, that's sexist, though. If you want to have sex with kids, the Democrats love you.
I'll take a little.
Here's a powerful music video that Eddie Bravo put together with AI and Lana Del Rey. Practice some killing, and then we're going to come back and hit all the economic news and what's happening and what's happening with Bill Gates in Congress and so much more. Huge next hour, but first this.
You just cracked down. It's the end of the world, and we just smoking and chilling. We just got done practicing killing. It's the end of the world, and we just smoking and chilling.
Such a beautiful voice. This is AI, but it just mimics her. But great writing by Eddie Bravo. Great editing by Darren McBreen. Full video is posted on Rumble at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live and on X at Real Alex Jones. I would suggest you share this with everybody you know, especially young people. And she's, you know, is a listener to the show. That's been confirmed. So I'm sure she's going to like it when she sees it. Spanish speakers. By the way, everybody always asks for that. With our new owners, we've launched Spanish outreach with translating the show into Spanish audio and video. And it, huge hit. Huge hit. Tens of millions of people. And we just did a test where we took 7 or 8 of the shows and had them cut into pieces and had this Clipper Network put it out. They said they've never seen such a response. Just amazing. So we're going to be reaching out to people in Spanish, Chinese, you name it. But Spanish is obviously the big one. That's the second largest language in the world and absolutely critical to the future. Be sure and share that music video.
AlexJonesLive.com.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine clause is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at the AlexJonesStore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Joining us for 22 minutes, and then when he leaves us, I'm going to hit all this other news, because I just spent most of the last hour on Iran, because it's such a big deal. And again, I need Trump to succeed. I want Trump to succeed when he makes statements like, I don't care about the average American's economic peril. I don't care about Medicare, Medicaid. We're a war economy now. And then today, we already played the clip. We'll play it again. We played it in context last hour, but I'm just going to play the short clips now for time. He said, are you worried about inflation? Oh, I love inflation. Because we grabbed 20 of their ships. And we're not even sure that number is accurate, but they're all super tankers. That doesn't even match what was taken out of the Strategic Oil Reserve. And we're talking to an economist in a moment. There's so many factors to put in, but is that... Does 20 tankers do anything to the overall baked-in inflation and uncertainty and fertilizer and helium and everything that's used for chips? No, it's already caused. U.S. Farmers report to the U.S. Farming Bureau a 56% can't get the fertilizer they need. And the diesel's way up. I mean, give me a break. And then Trump again, oh, we've declared victory, but we're going to blow them up tonight. You destroyed their own military. Well, if you've done that, then why don't you control the Strait of Hormuz? You didn't destroy their military. Well, we dropped $250 million of bombs on them last night. Oh, you dropped a couple hundred bombs on them. Is it up to 30,000 now? No, it's like 27,000 bombs and missiles. We dropped 7.6 million on the Vietnamese. So I want to bring in Dr. Kirk Elliott, but first, here's a short compilation of Trump saying these insane things.
Are you concerned, Mr. President, about the latest inflation number which came out this morning? Could that be a...
No, I love it. The numbers were great. You know what I really love? I love the inflation. You know why? Because as soon as this war is over, you know, I can say it now, something you didn't know. You know, we've been taking out millions of barrels of oil. Nobody knows it. You know who doesn't know about it? Iran, until right now.
When you're negotiating with Iran, Mr. President, to what extent are American financial situations motivating you to make a deal?
Not even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about American financial situation. I don't think about anybody. I think about one thing. We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon.
We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things. They can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection.
If the Democrats, the DNC, had a mind control ray and they could point it at Trump and make him say whatever they wanted. And Podesta and Obama are sitting around on the table with Hillary deciding, what do we want to make him say that's crazy? It's stuff like that. And I'd be in a cult if I sat there and said that that's not insane. And there's more quotes like this. So I want Dr. Kirk Elliott to pop in. He's a great economist, the number one silver and gold broker in North America because they sell it wholesale and have the highest ratings, and they're our sponsor, and you should totally get into gold and silver. Last week it was reported by Bloomberg, everybody, that now the number one investment in the world is gold and silver, no longer U.S. Treasuries. Well, that says a lot. And obviously now's the time to get in. They're ready to sell it to you right now, and they buy it back for no cost, which nobody does. You only do this at mass scale. It took them decades to get to this point to be able to give you these deals that only mass scale can give you. So there's nothing magic about it. Gold and silver bullion at wholesale with their processing fee. That's the lowest out there, and no fee to buy back. It's the place to go, KEPM.com/gold. Then we get the support when you go to /gold, KEPM.com/gold. And the number right there, go sign up for your free email to get a phone call consultation, free consultation that can talk to you. It's the opposite of a hard sell. You got to tell them you want the gold and silver because it's very light touch. They want to, you know, you can also roll over financial instruments. And there's a number you can call also. A lot of times they answer, but they're busy. Just leave your name and number, and they will call you back and set up the free consultation. But let's put that on screen. Let's put the number here. I can just read it off here. You've got a just overhead shot right here. Yeah, there you go. So it's KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. I don't steer you wrong. We got a water filter, highest rated, best filters, most beautiful stainless steel at the lowest price to get anything even close to this. So my job's easy. What's the highest rated? What's the best? Boom, here it is. What's the best mezzanine blue? Boom, here it is. What's the best gold and silver company? Boom, here it is. I can be making $2.5 million a month, ripping you off, selling you numismatics marked up 50-100%. I don't do it. Instead, we bring in $200,000 and barely pay the bills, but that's because there's not a bunch of profit with Elliot because he's not running a scam. He does it all at scale. You cannot get a better deal, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. You're insane if you don't make that call. Now, Kurt, we got you here. You sent me a whole stack of stuff. You heard my criticism of Trump. I just don't want to see the country collapse in the Great Reset. And it's so sad this has happened. You sent me a lot of documents, a lot of articles, a lot of analysis. Was I accurate in what I said? What do you make of his latest statement? He loves inflation. Then he must love destroying his agenda. That was great. And then where do you see this going, Dr. Kirk Elliott?
I mean, his agenda was great. Iran put a pickle in that, right? Inflation matters. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It really matters because it is going to impact interest rates, not just here domestically, but globally, right? And so, Alex, just a few days ago, consumer prices number came out up 4.2% in May. This is the most inflation has risen in over 3 years. Not a good time to have inflation, right? Now, a lot of that's because of the price of oil and this Iranian conflict and everything else. But, Alex, central bankers don't get it. They are so wrong so much of the time, right? So I was just doing some research, you know, a couple days ago, put this together, right? So central banks around the world use a monetary system called inflation targeting monetary policy, where they target where they want inflation to be. If it's greater than that number, they have to raise rates to slow it down. If it's lower than that number, well, then, you know, then the economy's cooking, right? So here's where is inflation compared to their target? In the United States, Fed, 2% inflation target. What is it in reality? 3.8%. So what does that mean? That's not a 1.8% difference. Literally, going from 2 to 4 is doubling.
Well, I was about to say consumer price rose 4.2, and we know that's even cooked down from what it is. But what about this, as you predicted? Trump went through hell to get a new Fed chair. We knew he had to have interest rates cut. Now they froze him. Now they're saying they're going up, as you predicted months ago. Yeah. And here it is. ECB, European Central Bank, hikes interest rates for the first time since 2023 as Iran war ramps up energy costs. They're having to do it now. So this is happening. But Trump says he loves it. We know that's sarcastic, but he didn't even explain that. People take what he says as if it's the word of God, Kirk.
I don't love inflation because it actually impacts all of us and everything that we spend. And we can't spend as much because everything's higher priced. Companies are going to have to lay off people, which is what we talked about on the last show that we did, all these massive layoffs. So with the United States Fed, they're 90% wrong. They're 90% off on their inflation projection. It's really 3.8 and they said 2. The euro, they're 60% wrong. UK, 40% wrong. Russia, 40% wrong. Brazil, 47% wrong. What does that mean? When inflation is higher than their target, they are not going to lower interest rates, Alex. Okay, so with the domestic economy is in for a hard path here. It really is. But so I've said, and this is what I want to address with people, is during times of geopolitical conflict, uncertainty, inflationary pressures, gold and silver go up. But they didn't, right? They came down. Now, why is that, right? Because I want to explain why that is, because this to me is a function of the narrative coming from Wall Street, right? So Wall Street is giving Main Street America misinformation and bad information. They don't understand the gold and silver markets. They understand paper. They do really well in paper. They do really
well
in
stocks. But let's be clear, even Warren Buffett for the first time is going in huge on gold and silver. The universities, yes, the governments, the institutions, all the smart money's going into it, but they're telling Main Street you need to be in the stock market that is at massive historic bubble levels.
Massive historic bubble. I mean, it's like...
So what you're saying is gold and silver really is undervalued right now.
Oh, it's undervalued. So why did it come down when it should go up during times of inflation and crisis? Because everybody's listening to this inflationary narrative on oil. This is what you're getting from CNBC and from Squawk Box and all these shows. They're traders, not traders in the sense of like bad people.
They're stock traders. That's what they sell. So that's but isn't it only six stocks that are propping it all up? It's all AI.
It's 20 out of the 500 S&P 500 shares. Is the only thing that's keeping the S&P 500 at historical highs. It's 20 shares. That's a really thin bull market. And when it's that thin, it doesn't take too much for that bubble to burst. So here's the thing. They're all talking about a trader mentality, trading short term. See, the times like this when silver came down from January until now, because of the Iran conflict, not because of fundamental reasons, because of the noise of the conflict. There's still low supply, high demand. It's used for everything. Like we always talk about, that trend never changed. What changed was the noise and causing it to pause. So here's where, as soon as that conflict is over, I see silver at $100 an ounce within a month after that. See, who else thinks that? When we talked a couple months ago about Bank of America saying gold, silver is going to be $300 by the end of the year, when the Iran conflict and J.P. Morgan Chase over 150, Goldman Sachs over 150.
And that's because of all the fundamentals.
Yes.
And because of industry and everything. Because, so again, this is not your opinion. Explain it again. Pull the headline from a week ago, guys. For the first time ever, gold and silver is the number one investment by governments, institutions, and rich people, surpassing U.S. treasuries. I mean, that is such a big deal.
Yeah, this is a paradigm shifting moment, which is why when the Iran conflict started, why didn't Bank of America say, well, shoot, we got that wrong. Maybe it's not going to be $300. Maybe it's going to be $50 by the end of the year. They didn't change their tune at all. Nobody did. Because as soon as this conflict is over, the trend resumes. That's why they didn't change their projections. Why I didn't. Why most commodity experts on the planet didn't. We still expect this to grow. Now, when is this conflict going to end? I wish it would have ended last month or 2 months ago, but it hasn't. So therefore, we see sideways action. Now, this is where in the beginning of crisis moments, crisis is very bad for traders, and it's an opportunity for investors. This is a big difference, right? So this pullback that we saw in gold and silver, traders are freaking out because if they had long positions and the price came down, they lose money hand over fist. If they had short positions and the price went up, they lose money hand over fist. How much did you and I and all of your listeners lose on this pullback? Nothing. Nothing. Because we didn't sell it. And we're going to sell it down the road when the price goes up. But during the beginning of conflict, especially in the Middle East. This is what I want to focus on, because this is a Middle Eastern conflict. Go back throughout time. The OPEC embargo of 1973, the Iranian Revolution of 79, the Gulf War of 91, 9/11 in 2001. What happened to the price of gold at the beginning of those crises? It came down because of the inflationary pressures, because of oil. But what happened when the crisis was over? And you and I both know, because you're on the air, have been on the air for decades. You generally never say never or always, you know, those extreme words. But every time a conflict in the Middle East has ended, gold has reached an all-time high. Not just a higher price than before, an all-time high.
Well, you can, when you look at a 20-year graph in just the last year, you see the trend on silver and gold. And that's on silver and gold. But in general, the economy, with where we're going, I don't see any end in sight with Iran. They know that if they don't push for the troops out and this big $500 billion they want, all the rest of it, they're just going to keep getting hit forever. So they're in a war of attrition. They actually have the most of the cards. They're winning. Trump keeps playing this game, saying they're obliterated, but the strait's closed. I mean, I think this is going on in 6 months from now, probably, unfortunately, unless there's a miracle. What does that do to the economy? Just for what should we get ready for? Because you were even on a month ago. Maybe there's still time to turn it around. Let's be optimistic. And I was like, I don't think so, Kurt. And I'm not trying to say I was right and you were wrong. I wish you were right. Now you came on last week and said, it's already baked in. And every week we go, it gets worse. Explain that to people. So what they should expect, and then how they obviously position themselves.
If this conflict ends tomorrow, we've probably got 9 months to a year of massive pain. If this conflict goes on for another 6 months, I think globally we go into an inflationary recession / depression. I mean, it's worse. It's like way worse. Because a recession or depression means people aren't working. And inflation means the prices are going up. So when prices go up when people aren't working, that's devastating. That's the worst policy for any policymaker to try to get out of. It's stagflation. It's the late 70s when they had to jack up interest rates to the teens to low 20s. To slow down on inflation. That's
By the way,
Reagan did.
Let me interrupt you. I didn't see the USA Today article. J.D. Vance said, don't worry, it'll only take a year now. What will a year of the strait being closed do?
Devastating to the domestic economy. Devastating to the global economy. Devastating to the Iranian economy, right? I mean, with the strait being closed, it's not just oil that comes out of there. There's fertilizer. Imagine the food shortages that are going to come if the yields aren't high.
Well, I mean, when we read the news, it's like Russia's economy is in trouble. So is Europe. So is ours. They just ignore this.
Yeah, it's a very important strait. It really is. And
now the Chinese are in the Strait of Malacca threatening to close it.
Yeah. So what happens is countries are going to debase their currencies. They are going to print out of it, right? That's if there's no money coming in from tax revenues. And you can't raise
taxes. Let's be clear. They were already doing it, and you predicted 6 months ago they would accelerate it. You predicted 2 years ago, before Trump even got in, you said the big threat will be Iran, Strait of Hormuz. We played those clips. That would be the one thing, and that in a pandemic that could take it down. And we now got the war. The UN's trying to launch a new hysteria pandemic. But here we are, and for people that don't understand, when China does this, when the EU does this, when they all print out, so do we, that just amplifies all the inflationary pressures. How bad then if it's still closed in 6 months, which it looks like that's where we're, that's a dead reckon. That's what I had to guess. It's not a prediction, but I think at least 6 months, you know, magically the mullah's fault. I mean, who knows, but 6 months, six more months of this. What does that do?
I mean, if we get out tomorrow, it's about a year of pain. If we get out 6 months from now, it's probably 2 years of pain. It just multiplies because of the backlog, and you miss an entire growing season of food where there's no fertilizer, right? I mean, this is going to be difficult. So countries.
Why do you think Trump said he loves inflation, all those smart mouth comments? How is that helping?
I don't think it helps him at all, other than he's saying he's focused on Iran not having nukes. But to say that you're not concerned about inflation is problematic, because
well, it's like you said 2 weeks ago, or this is an economic nuke's already gone off.
Yeah. See, it's not just us that's going to bear the brunt of inflation. It's literally every country around the world. See, this is where the bankers are salivating, Alex, because it's like, okay, this is time for us to usher in our new system of central bank digital currency of complete control. We'll say that we're going to fix it, right? It's very Hegelian dialectic. If you can't get what you want by normal means, you create a problem that's so bad that all of a sudden your solution seems like a good one. I mean, this is where I think that we're headed, is full speed ahead into an inflationary spiral around the globe. But here's where, don't let crisis causing gold and silver to come down. That's a temporary blip. See, if you're a trader mentality and you're in for a day or a week or a month, yeah, you could lose money if you need to sell it and it came down during that time frame. This is the buying opportunity of a generation.
And this is the same reason Bitcoin went down. People are dumping assets too to be able to get into these IPOs on AI.
Oh yeah, they're dumping crypto to go into AI because all of a sudden the massive gains you could get on crypto don't look as high as what you could get on AI. It's irrational exuberance, right? And what happens on generally speaking on IPOs, it's this hype at the beginning. And within a month after that, the price is lower than the IPO price. Now it'll eventually grow. But IPOs, I don't like.
Well, let me raise this in closing. You sent me Zero Hedge articles and others. Gold and silver from pullback to perfect setup.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of the economists are saying. Silver third wave. Bears are running out of time. I mean, that's what the analysts are saying. It's what you're saying is this is the key to the gold and silver markets. Explain that in closing and tell people about it. I can also roll over financial instruments right now.
So what that means, this pullback is the perfect setup for growth. Why? Because there's something in technical trading. It's a 200-day moving average. It's the average price of silver for the last 200 days. That trend is still going up, which means the price of silver over a 200-day span is still going up. We just hit on this pullback that 200-day moving average. Now, when the trend is still going up and you retrace to that, it means it's the setup for something fantastic. What would be the opposite? If the 200-day moving average were coming down and you went below it, well, then you could see the floor, right? It could just keep dropping. It's not where we are. We're rising trend, rising 200-day moving average. We just hit it, which means this is the buying opportunity of a generation because it was a big retracement. So this is the difference between an investor mentality and a trading mentality. Traders hate this crisis. Investors see it as the opportunity of a lifetime. Now, you have IRAs, old 401ks, cash in a brokerage account that you want to protect from bank failures, from illiquidity at the banks, from this inflationary spiral. The best way, literally the best way to protect yourself against inflation is to go into a tangible asset because tangible assets go up with inflation. It's what they do. Things go up when prices go, right? So this is where we can handle that. We can do IRA rollovers.
People need to call you. They need a free consultation. You got to make them sell you gold and silver, folks. It's ultra low pressure because I've called and tested it. But we'll put it back on screen. The number to call to get a free phone consultation, the website to sign up, get a call back, KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. Thank you so much, Kirk Elliott. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, Alex. Talk to you later.
Powerful info. Now, coming up, Bill Gates just testified the last few days secretly in Congress, but they released some of the information. He got confronted leaving, dealing with Jeffrey Epstein. Some big stuff came out. We're going to hit that and the SPLC hearings on the SPLC with $1 billion, run by globalists and Israel, running the white supremacist groups. Told you that for decades. Now it's all come out. New updated charges as well from the DOJ and the SPLC. It's all coming up. Share those live feeds now.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its business?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And, of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that, the U.S. never does it. But we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
Let's be clear, though. A dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get-out-of-jail-free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire us funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Kelly at KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation. Or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment for the last 2+ years. And you can just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Fire! Blow it to hell!
For the last 30 years, one man has stood against the psychological operations launched by the mainstream media and the deep state. This man knew that the war would not be fought in the streets, but would be fought in the minds of freedom-loving humans everywhere. So stand with Alex Jones, this one man terminating wrecking ball of truth, as he launches his next great operation. AlexJonesLive.com has launched. Spread this message far and wide, because the tyrants want you fighting with each other instead of the true enemy of humanity. AlexJonesLive.com is the signal they can't stop.
You will never defeat humanity.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
You're on a roller coaster, if you feel like you got whiplash, if you feel like you're running a jackhammer, never run a jackhammer, let me tell you, it's crazy. Trump is flip-flopping hourly now, and I like the latest flip-flop, but I'm sure it'll be different in 2 hours. He says he's going to obliterate Iran tomorrow, yesterday, he's going to obliterate it tonight. We've totally won, their military's destroyed, we don't care about the Strait of Hormuz, but we got to open it. Now he just came out on Truth Social minutes ago. During the break, we got CNN, Fox, all the corporate stuff on. I was like, look at that. Chiron. He was like, look at that. Now Trump's canceled strikes. We're already striking him. Based on the fact, Trump says, is Truth Social, the discussions with the Islamic Republic of Iran have been brought to the highest level of Iranian leadership and approved. I have, as President of the United States of America, canceled the scheduled strikes and bombings against Iran this evening. Discussions and final points have been in both concept and great detail approved by all parties involved, including the United States, Iran, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, Turkey, Pakistan, Bahrain, Kuwait, Jordan, Egypt, and others. The naval blockade will remain in full force and effect until the transaction is finalized. Time and place of the signing to be announced shortly. Now, again, I'm not trying to bash Trump, but I'm just here to tell you facts, okay? And when I tell you it's a fact, you can look it up. Iran closed the strait. A couple days into this, or 100, 405 days, about 3-4 days in, they shut it. They can shoot any ship they want. It's up close, 18 miles wide. You don't have to have high-tech weapons to do that. Artillery, torpedo missiles, you can't do it. So Trump has been saying, oh, we got a blockade, to act like he's the reason the strait closed. And to say, well, we only let the ships through we want. Well, Iran only lets through who they want. So it's a complete fiasco. And again, yes, please end it, Trump. Please. You're going to lose us the damn midterms. It's killing a bunch of innocent people. It's making Iran, the mullahs, look like the damn victims here. Netanyahu lied to you to get you into this war. They drug us in striking. The Secretary of State, the day it started, said that. That he had to go back on it, even though it's a fact. Israel should not run the sovereignty of this country. And Israel using its magic trick of calling people anti-Semitic that don't want whoever's in charge of Israel running us doesn't work. And it's pissing everybody off. And it's turning Israel into the only issue there is, which everybody knows I'm not about that. I don't want to blow Israel up. I don't have dreams about Israel at night and obsess over it. But Israel is making a real run at our domestic and foreign policy, and is using its money to primary a bunch of people and saying they run this country. And that is wrong. And that is treason by any American citizens that go along with that or work with that. So I am forced to be on the Israel watch, you know, to be on their ass now. And I got to tell you, I follow the whole world. I watch everything. But man, the more I sit there and actually focus on Israel and their leadership, these are some nasty, nasty people. And again, I've got friends that were in Army Special Operations, you name it, that are senior contractors. And they've been pro-Israel and fought tours, you know, all over the place over there. And they liked the Israelis they knew and worked with and stuff. They went over to Gaza and were there for the last few years. They said, it's worse than you know. They're just murdering kids, putting them in mass graves, shooting women and children that want the food. You already know that. You've seen it. But they say it's way worse. And so they have basically, you've seen a bunch of contractors go public about this. But I've been told it's worse than what you're hearing. And I'm trying to get some of these guys to come on the show. We're pretty close to it. There's some ones that have already gone public. We're definitely getting them on next week. But, I mean, this is bad, folks. We're talking about, like, shooting six-year-old kids and throwing them in mass graves. And you go, well, they're the Muslims. I mean, you know, they want to kill all the Jews. And, yeah, the leadership's like, we're going to kill all the Jews and kill your kids, too. Just because they act like that, I mean, we can't be like that. I mean, come on, people. This is crazy. Meanwhile, Belfast is continuing to burn. All sorts of hell is breaking loose. And Trump's, I played the clip earlier, oh, it's MSNBC. They keep saying we haven't won. They're not even saying that. You keep saying we won. You keep saying they have no military when the damn straits closed. We understand that they have not been defeated. They've not fallen. So Trump, I'm a factoid guy. I'm a news hound. I mean, I'm more up to date than 99% of people. And I watch what you say and I watch what you do, and it is all over the frickin' map. And you can't have a president like that. This is not 3D chess. All right, I'm going to stop talking about it. I don't know what to say. He tells, you know, Netanyahu a month ago, you are ordered to stop attacking Lebanon. No more. That's it. You are doing what I say. He starts bombing immediately. And then Trump gets pissed off at Netanyahu. But how many times? It's happened like 10 times since then. Does Netanyahu have to do this? I'm going to ask this question. Is President Trump the president or is Netanyahu the president? Well, effectively, it's Netanyahu. And the Netanyahu's lobby's like, we'll primary anybody, Republican or Democrat, that doesn't do what we say. What the hell is that? I could be the most pro-Israel person, and if I was a sovereign American and not a traitor, I'd be against Israel telling us what to do. Even what Israel was telling us what to do was right. It's not their place to run us, and not our place to run them. But they're telling us all lies and garbage and horrible failure. And I know about 20% of our audience, you know, likes our conservatism or nationalism or all that. But they're like, oh, now, Alex, you're going to go to hell not supporting Israel. The Bible doesn't say that. Your preachers are lying to you. But I do not support the Muslims that want to destroy Israel. I think historically, you know, the Bible's pretty clear. If you want to just destroy the Jews for Jews' sake, God doesn't like that. That's not good. But all God does is put Israel into bondage when Israel does bad things, which is a lesson to everybody else. That's how God works. Let's play that short compilation, then I'm going to get into Bill Gates one more time. This is just so crazy of Trump saying, I love inflation, and then dovetail with his previous statements. Again, these statements will kill the midterms. Why is he saying it? Does he have some secret deal with the Democrats to lose for them? I don't think so. Can you tell me, listeners, why he's doing it? Here it is.
Are you concerned, Mr. President, about the latest inflation number which came out this morning? Could that be a...
No, I love it. The numbers were great. You know what I really love? I love the inflation. You know why? Because as soon as this war is over, you know, I can say it now. Something you didn't know. Do you know we've been taking out millions of barrels of oil? Nobody knows it. You know who doesn't know about it? Iran until right now.
When you're negotiating with Iran, Mr. President, to what extent are American financial situations motivating you to make a deal?
Not even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about American financial situation. I don't think about anybody. I think about one thing. We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon.
We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things. They can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection.
Okay. Well, then if their military's totally obliterated, you destroyed their nuclear program, well, then we can stop this. Oh, sorry, they're keeping the strait closed. Like I predicted before the war started, like the Pentagon told you, don't do it. And I want the people that attacked us, the so-called Trump supporters, and you know who you are, that said I was an Iranian agent and a traitor. Yeah, Ben Shapiro saying Tucker is a Muslim agent. No evidence. Saying I'm on some foreign payroll. Bull crap, buddy. You're the one on the Israeli payroll. Salem Radio that he's on, all that stuff, literally run by the Israeli government, funded directly by it. You are the agent of foreign groups, not me. My family, both sides, was on the Mayflower. My family, both sides, was in the Texas Revolutionary War, literally ran it, started it, engineered it, was the treasurer of the Republic of Texas. Most trusted. Washington the Brazos, under the president's command. Oh, yeah, the U.S. government sent him my family. Okay, you couldn't get someone with a more American pedigree than me. I'm not bragging. I've proven myself to be up to snuff with my ancestors. Look what I've already done. I'm not trying to brag, but, bitch, you don't point your finger at 100% Americana, bona fide, real McCoy, bitch, and tell me I work for the Russians. It is Israel funding Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Hamas. And I've been exposing that for 30 years. So you take your little Mossad ass, Shapiro, shooting your mouth off how a bunch of Americanas are traitors, and you look in the mirror if you want to see a traitor, you little beady-eyed rat. I mean, that's fighting words, folks. Remember when Congressman Schiff said I'm a Russian agent and I blew up on air? That wasn't an act that time I blew up. When you're being called a Russian agent with no evidence and that you're a traitor on a foreign payroll, those are fighting words, people. I'm not going to take it. Ben Shapiro, his little smart-ass smirk. He's got 5% of the audience he used to have. Billions, over $1 billion was put by the Israeli lobby and big Zionist Texas oil people out of Frisco, Texas into him to try to take over the media. And he still wasn't number one, but he was in the top 3 or 4 talk show hosts. They tried to have him replace Limbaugh. And all that money failed. So how's your agenda now, Shapiro? You got about five. You look at his YouTube. Used to have 1 million views average video. Average video now, 5,000 views. That's more than 95% reduction. I don't know. Do the math. What's 5,000 versus 1 million? Divide 5,000 into 1 million. What percentage is that a drop? And it's not about Shapiro having no audience, and they're just laid off in the last three layoffs combined, about 90% of their employees. They're just leaving it up there as a face-saving event, like leaving CNN on air, MSNBC with almost no viewers. Average MSNBC, 100,000, CNN, 60,000. Again, I can point a camera at my house at the wall of drying paint, it'll have more viewers than that. And there's all these other thousands of talk show hosts. Thousands of podcasters are bigger than an average CNN show. It's a joke. But the boomers, some of them, there are a lot of boomers that are more tech savvy than I am. It was old boomers that, you know, called me up when I was on talk radio in like 96 and said, there's a thing called Shoutcast. The guy's name was Ron Moses. And he put me on Shoutcast and set it up. And I'd dial into his house with a phone line. And they put it out 8-bit. It went to number one in the world. And from his trailer outside Las Vegas, he would stream us to millions. But my point is that these globalists are a joke. And they want to sit up and tell everybody that they're the establishment. They tell you what's legitimate. They tell you what flies. They tell you what's kosher. And then the World Jewish Congress and all these other APAC says, we don't know why we're the most unpopular. Everybody hates us now. Well, people don't like being told what to do. People don't like people running their lives. People don't like war crimes in their names. People don't like all this money sent to you and others. Massey voted, like Rand Paul, against all foreign aid. You went and picked a fight with him. Called him anti-Semitic, went after him, and then he made him 10 times worse against you. See, let me explain something to all the bullies, not just the Israel lobby, because they're just one of the groups. America and the West was asleep before, so when you thought you were intimidating us, people were just asleep. Now people are awake and you're intimidating. You're like, it's not working. It's making them matter because we're awake. Okay. I'm going to explain to you again. Maybe 10% of the people you were trying to intimidate were intimidated. Everybody else was just asleep. See? And I'm trying to do you a favor, explain how things work. I mean, you know, I really don't, I don't put out this information. I don't sit up here and say what I want to be true. Everything I say is what I actually believe. And if you had any brain cells left and weren't so full of hubris and bravado and megalomania, you would know, oh, you got rid of Massey. The numbers even turned more against you. Every victory you have one-dimensionally is a giant second, third, fourth dimensional defeat. Every time you cut us, with a little paper cut, you run a sword through your own heart, dumbasses. And the reason I'm against that happening is I can look at the next order of events. You're going to keep doubling down, doubling down, doubling down, doubling down, doubling down. And there's all these nuclear war scenarios. And it just is like, God, please stop. Discretion is the better part of valor. Michael Savage, super smart, Jewish American, America first. Came on like 6 months ago and said, I'm talking to all these former generals and Mossad chiefs that are my friends, and they say Netanyahu is going to buy the mortgage chew with this greater Israel, this war with Iran. We got to stop it because down the road it's going to destroy Israel and the U.S. and everybody else. You think Michael Savage has got secret Hitler underwear on? You think he's anti-Semitic? No, he's smart, unlike you. He's not stupid. Meanwhile, we're all obsessed with Jews all day because Israel's trying to take the damn country over, so we have to be. Bill Gates and the New World Order are creeping around behind the scenes with geoengineering, blocking out the sun, spraying poison on us. Take control of the vaccine programs. So he's in Congress yesterday and today. It's all secret other than his opening statement. And what does he say? I was blackmailed by Jeffrey Epstein. I'm a victim. He had Jeffrey Epstein out there blackmailing people for him, the scientist. And it turns out Jeffrey Epstein was more powerful than I thought. I'm not always right. I said he was a super gopher. No, he was the stand-in for David Rockefeller, the head of the Trilateral Commission, and would go to the meetings around the world when Rockefeller was too old and too sick to do it for at least the last 20 years. Rockefeller, what, died 4 years ago. 5 years ago. That's why Epstein was so powerful. The main Rothschild representative. The main Rockefeller representative. And he's as thick as thieves with Bill Gates. And now Bill Gates is like, well, he was blackmailing with my girlfriends and diseases. I'm a victim. Yeah, right, Bill. If anybody's slimier and more evil than Epstein, it's you, pal. So here he is being confronted coming out of the hearing.
Follow Jesus, Bill. Stop being a baby flesh eater. Stop consuming adrenal chrome. Follow King Jesus. You can't escape his gaze, Bill Gates. God sees all your evil, Bill Gates. Every day he sees it. You reap what you sow, Bill. You can't escape the eyes of King Jesus. He's watching you. You Satanist, you transgender, Bill Gates. God knows you're a woman, Bill. There's nowhere to hide, Bill. Jesus is watching you.
Sir, step out of the path.
You got nowhere to hide, Bill.
You're
transgender.
That's Jesus First, 1776. Great guy. He's up at Capitol all the time. There should have been 1,000 people protesting that piece of garbage. Meanwhile, Bill Gates tells Congress that Epstein exploited knowledge of his adultery. That means he blackmailed him. And that's what Gates has been saying the whole time. That story is up at Zero Hedge. It's also at alexjoneslive.com. Now, don't forget this. Let's put the HD version of this up. There's a whole bunch of emails with him and Epstein. This is from 2011. They're talking about how to get rid of the poor people. And Bill Gates has said that. Death panels and poisons. This is sent by BlackBerry to T-Mobile from Jeffrey Epstein to Bill Gates. Also, I've been thinking a lot about the question that you asked Bill Gates. How do we get rid of poor people as a whole? And I have an answer. Comment regarding that for you. When can I call you today to discuss this? That's Jeffrey Epstein to Barry Josephson talking about their meetings with Bill Gates. So that's what we're talking about. That's who we're dealing with. That's what's going on here. So what is the great unifier? Whether you are a WASP like Bill Gates or a Jew like Jeffrey Epstein, or the Chi-Coms under the one-child policy, at the end of the day, they're eugenicists. At the end of the day, they're depopulationists. At the end of the day, they're transhumanists. At the end of the day, that's what this is all about. And they're creating designer babies and gene editing, and it's a runaway train completely and totally out of control. Robert Barnes is about to join us, and we're going to get into all this and more. He's on at 6 after. I'm going to air some of the SPLC hearings when we come back in the short segment. Before we go to break, remember, your word of mouth is what gets the audio feeds, the video feeds, the articles, the new website, alexjoneslive.com. You're the Paul Revere's. You're everything. So keep sharing your email list, your text message list, and go to thealexjonesshow.com. We have it to 50% off on things like Life Force, 50% off, the Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Booster, the very best formula. It's incredible. Total game changer. So good for your whole body. Mental, see the effects in the morning when you wake up. That's 50% off. A bunch of other products are 50% off, 40% off, you name it. This is the end of spring sale. It's running until Sunday at midnight. And we have the new gravity-fed filter, the highest-rated double carbon filter. There's two filters, but each one is double itself. Reduces all the forever chemicals, all the atrazine, all the glyphosates to non-detectable levels. Under the law, you can't say all of it's gone because the spectrometers can't find it, but even down to parts per million, but you just say non-detectable levels. And we've got all the studies published. We've shown it all to you, and it's the most beautiful, highest quality stainless steel. You can get units that are tin with plastic and crappy filters that aren't even that good, that aren't even anywhere near this. They're selling for $350, $400 all day long at stores. This is way under that price, and for VIPs, it's even lower, $200-something at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, it's about to sell out. It didn't already sold out, like 100 left at the start of the show. More's coming in 2 weeks. Just get your pre-order in. Commit to support the show. Commit to clean your water. One of the biggest things you can take control of in your life is not let them hit you through the water. And know you're supporting the broadcast and make sure you get this, the best filter out there. Big Lee knocked a home run. Took him 2 years to get this done. It's incredible. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. Stay with us.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach? In California, Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, But you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Put together down in Argentina by a guy making 30 cents a day. Well, it's a now reunion. And what's made in the USA?
Sure was a good idea.
Sure was a good idea.
Until we got in the way.
Until we got in the way.
Oh, yeah. Democracy don't rule the world. This world is ruled by violence. But I guess that goes better left unsaid.
This is from Hong Kong, and it pulls out from Japan. And a dog collar's from India, and a flower pot from Pakistan. All the furniture, it said, made in Brazil. Well, woman, she slaved for sure.
Start getting into this. Senator Robert Barnes joining us. Look at this headline. CBS News. Justice Department says it has obtained superseding indictment against Southern Poverty Law Center with new details. They found another $4.1 million, a couple other million. It's over $5 million. On top of the millions and millions of dollars they gave the KKK Grand Wizards, the Aryan Nations, all the other white supremacy groups. So this is literally financing the groups they need to create the fear and getting them to carry out violence. And there was a lot of amazing statements and things that came out in hearings yesterday. And we're going to go to some of those coming up. I got a longer clip with Chip Roy really tearing into him. But first, let's go to the niece of Martin Luther King, Alveda King, who's been on the show before, tore into the Southern Poverty Law Center during a congressional hearing, accusing them of fueling racial division and pretending to fight it. Here's the clip.
My family legacy reflects the very truth that America is strongest when we recognize our common humanity. My grandmother's family came from the west coast of Africa. My grandfather's family came from Ireland. My mother's family included Cherokee roots. I have spent my entire life living the reality that America is not a collection of competing tribes. America is one people under God. That is why I am troubled by the conduct and messaging of organizations that claim to fight hatred while profiteering from division. Recent allegations reportedly contained in a federal superseding indictment raise serious questions about the Southern Poverty Law Center's activities. Individuals associated with organizations the SPLC itself labeled as extremists or hate groups allegedly received substantial payments over many years. The indictment shares of payments totaling hundreds of thousands and in some cases more than $1 million to sources connected to white supremacist, neo-Nazi, and Ku Klux Klan organizations.
How long have I told you that? 30 plus years? It's come out over and over again. In Germany, all the groups, all of it, it's the same stuff over and over again. Now, we got the really explosive clips coming up. But we just shouldn't forget about this. These hearings happened. the last 2 days and almost zero coverage. I mean, they're reporting on the superseding indictments, beefing the indictments up, more money, more fraud, more stuff found. That hit a few places. But the hearings itself, wow. And to watch the SPLC sit there and take the Fifth Amendment and not answer questions, they know they're in deep poo-poo. And it's not just the SPLC. The ADL's been caught doing this stuff before. So, not a good day for them. By the way, the SPLC has been all over our ass trying to shut us down. They paid off a couple of employees to tell lies about us. They're going to get sued soon.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at the AlexJonesStore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble, Rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Fiasco of Iran, 105 days in. Trump's going to strike. He's not going to strike. We have total victory. We don't have victory. You have Israel. And I mean, Barnes is not some anti-Israel guy. Neither am I. And I don't make that like point. Like, oh, Israel, I'm kissing your ass. Don't be mean to me. They're already after me forever because they want total control over the U.S. It's a major power block. Now surpassing the Chinese is the main threat. Trying to take control of Congress, trying to primary everybody, saying they're in control. Now with this NDAA, defense authorization, literally merging and taking over all the weapon systems and the money. I mean, it's a coup. And then the Pentagon comes out over a week ago now and says the main threat is Israel to national security. They're trying to take over because they are. So this is just crazy. I think that's front and center and everything flows out of that, are we a sovereign nation or not? And it just goes to all these other globalist interests and the big banks and big tech and just what they've done. And then how that goes into the midterms and the economy and everything that's happening And the Israel lobby, 38 states have passed laws, and if you criticize Israel, you can't have a government contract to clean toilets or to build a road or to put in light bulbs. I mean, it's a social credit score. We oppose all that with the Democrats. Well, the Republicans are now doing it through Israel with a foreign power on top of it. And then you've got Ireland in an uprising with all the Islamic attacks and the craziness and where that's going. And the EU trying to censor Americans and Elon Musk. All of it. So Robert Barnes. Amazing individual. Be sure and check him out on X and follow him there. We'll put it up. And his Viva Barnes show with Viva Fry and so much more. I kind of thrown out that little starter pack there. Where do you want to enter into this? And where do you want to go with it? We had Lady Lindsay Bubble Wand Queen winning by double digits. So the polls were all neck and neck. I don't buy that. Robert Barnes, attorney at law. What do you want to dive into first?
Well, I think the top topic is definitely going to be what the president is doing in Iran. I'd be curious what your thoughts are, because I've had different operating hypotheses. But what we talked about back before the president decided to go ballistic on you and Tucker and everyone else was it was quite clear all the way back from the beginning of this war that we're not operating with the same decision-making quality of Trump that was present before. And, you know, the different operating hypotheses are that for whatever reason, whether something's in the Epstein files concerning a friend, a family member, something else, that the Israel lobby hijacked the administration. Second hypothesis is that the Trump administration has just chosen to go balls to the wall corrupt. And you see that all over the place. The New York Times story about the Epstein files behind the scenes confirms what we reported all the way back at the time in terms of who was aware. People like J.D. Vance were aware of the problem. Bongino at the time was aware of the problem before he decided to become a cover-up artist later on. But that, you know, Swampy Susie Wiles was asleep at the wheel, not recognizing its consequence, and Trump was losing his mind for reasons nobody has given me a persuasive explanation of yet. And then the third hypothesis, and maybe it's a combination of all of them, is that the president's just not operating with a full, you know, with a dozen out of a dozen. What was described to me in January was effectively a form of precognitive early stage behavioral dementia. So it doesn't show up in language and sound. And
we're talking about frontal lobe. It's in decision making.
Exactly. That basically your decision making becomes that of a toddler. You start to regress and recede. And people that have probably known family members who've gone through this and seen it.
Yes, I have.
Family members, you know, seen it totally normal, and then all of a sudden, boom, out of the blue.
And they'll also go in and out of gear for a few years before they completely go into it. They'll be totally normal, all of a sudden just go out of gear.
Exactly. And at least what everyone was describing to me back in January before the war was someone that Trump was on that track. And it's not something, to my knowledge, they test for when he goes over to does the doctor studies and surveys. And we've seen little bits of slippage here and there in terms of falling asleep in meetings and the lack of social filter in a range of settings. But the confabulation has been the worst part, and is because that's what they were reporting to me back in January. And it seems like this happens on a regular basis during the Iran war. Like he'll imagine and fantasize that he has a deal that he doesn't have. That when he does have a deal, he's rug pulled the deal now 7 different times.
Let's be clear. CNN finally this week said 38 times. I've done the math. It's like 45 times I can find. He did it again today. He said, now we have a deal, highest level, deal is done. I'm not striking tonight. The deal's done. If you follow the pattern, by tomorrow he'll be saying no deal. I'm attacking him Saturday. And then he'll pull back Saturday and say he won't. But then meanwhile, we're bombing him the whole time anyway, so it never stopped. It's like it's just total cuckoo town.
Completely. And at some point, and from what I've heard in the White House, is that he really believes these things when he says it. And so people have to kind of gently correct him. And then he gets mad when people do.
Well, remember this. Tucker told me this even before it was in the news, and Trump never denied it. The last time he talked to him, like a week into the war, he goes, listen, it's going to kill your legacy. It's going to derail the recovery. It's going to have inflation, bare minimum, and you this is killing your plan. This is going to make you ineffective and a failure. And Trump said, don't worry, everything goes the way I want. I always win. And he says that publicly. Don't worry, it's all going to be fine. And it's the same thing now. Did you see the latest statement where he said, I love inflation?
Yeah, oh, I know. I mean, you get, I love inflation. There is no cost of living crisis. I don't care about the cost of living. I don't care about the midterms. I don't care what's happening to the American people. I don't care if people die, flipping off people, raising questions about the Epstein files. All of this has shown a complete lack of a social filter and a lack of connection to reality that Trump used to be well known for, at least politically. And we're just seeing more signs of bad decision making. And the question just becomes why? Because it doesn't matter, you know, any other filter of corruption, of narcissism, of the Israel lobby only gets you so far, because some of these decisions are not in the interest of anybody. To rug pull Iran repeatedly on deals makes Iran's position more hard line each time.
Absolutely. And there's the exact quote. Just sit back and relax. It will work out well. In the end, it always does. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And he appears to believe these kind of things at the time he says it. He'll believe that, I mean, like his helicopter explanation. I guess that's the official talking point from the Pentagon. But everybody I know, the military, that has military background, says it doesn't even make sense. How does a drone that's bigger than the cockpit of the airport, of that helicopter, go into the helicopter at all and then like land sideways in the tiny little space between the two pilots? And not, you know, they take down the helicopter by itself. That doesn't make any, none of that makes any sense. Then saying he's getting, you know, 100 million, 200 million barrels out in secret,
I'm not worried about inflation. We seize 20 ships. When you do the math, even if they're super tankers, it does nothing to inflation. It's all just cuckoo town. Remember what he said? We have the ghost murmur. Our satellites see the heartbeat of the pilot. It's just like all cuckoo town.
Well, and the other night he was saying, oh, we're flying over Tehran. We weren't flying over Tehran. We had one F-16 try to go in and it immediately turned around because the Iranian air defenses are much better now because it's quite clear.
By the way, they admit even the Pentagon said this. We had it first a month ago, but they admit now that Iranians have beaten our stealth with infrared heat signature. They don't use radar. They have loitering missiles that just sit there and wait. And when they see a heat signature, they attack it. And now the Air Force said we've got to stop overflights because they've got us. I mean, this is a big deal.
Correct. And we wouldn't have been using all these Tomahawks if we had air control. So we're using those because they're standoff ammunitions, but we're running out. We're running out of Patriots. We're running out of all these things. And then the president will just like pretend that it's not true, even when he's told by Kane or others. Now, Haig's death is, you know, he loves being central casting. He loves Trump saying he's essential casting. Some of these people got some serious daddy issues, but like the way they psychologically react to Trump going off is to join him in going nuts rather than push back. So who's left pushing back? Rubio wants to get in with the Israel lobby even deeper because he wants to run for president in 2028. Vance is the only guy consistently up there fighting to get us out.
That's right. He came out today and criticized and said Netanyahu's been wrong about a lot of stuff. And then notice that they even use anti-establishment whisper campaigns against Vance, knowing they can only attack him through the anti-establishment. But this is a mess then. What do you predict for the midterms on the current trajectory in 5 months?
Right now, we're looking at over 240 Democratic House seats and over 53 Democratic Senate seats. And it could go as high as over 255 Democratic House seats and as high as 58 Democratic Senate seats, because South Carolina is going to be up for grabs now in the general election, because about a third of Republicans have told a range of people that have polled the state that they will not vote for Lady Lindsey Graham, Queen of the War Horse. So that means South Carolina's in play, despite all the money they spent beating up Paxton by Cornyn's folks has damaged Paxton in Texas. And the reason why Texas is going to be competitive, Florida is going to be competitive. The Arizona is probably lost, which is extraordinary given, you know, Trump won it by 5-6 points in 2024. The Central Valley of California and Nevada are not going to be as competitive as people want. It's because the entire Hispanic vote, like they're in South Texas, that it has swung massively back to the Democratic equation. Whether you're looking at special elections or primary elections, primary participation levels, comparing between the two, what's happening under the hood in survey data. Its Hispanic vote is shifting back to like 2012, 2008 Democratic margins, meaning that a 50 point swing in places like Texas. the black vote, young black vote, particularly black men that came onto the Trump team in Trump coalition in 2024, completely off the res. Don't want anything to do with the Democratic or with the Republican Party brand under what has become the third term of the Bush administration. The young voters in general, Zoomers, are very, very unhappy. They were the first people to jump off the MAGA coalition back when the Epstein files were mishandled. And now they're completely off. Many of them are just angry. There's people that I know, they're going to go out and vote Democrat just out of anger, not because they care for or like Democrats at all, but just because to punish a Republican Party that betrayed them and a president they believe betrayed them. And so if we continue on this path is how we get 250 Democratic House seats and 57 or 58 Democratic Senate seats, because Trump pushes the economy completely over the cliff. If we're not out of this, if the strait isn't fully open by July, the worst economic impacts will start to be felt by September, and it will get very, very ugly in an economy that's already bad, according to voters. Record levels of credit card delinquency and debt, record lows of personal savings because they've been dipping into credit cards and savings to be able to get by for the last year. Their wages not catching up to the cost of living spike that's now getting higher and higher and higher from the energy shock. We may have an AI bubble that's about to bust the equity markets on top of all this. So right now it's looking very bad. And if Trump doesn't get us out fast, it could be the worst possible scenario in the fall.
Now, let's just pull back. Remember, you're been a Trump supporter. So am I. We're not Democrat talking points up here to undermine. They have internal polls at the White House. 4 or 5 months ago, they got Mitchell, you know, from Rasmussen from the show. They said, oh, please come warn Trump. He went and told them all this. Those numbers are now borne out. This is the reality. This is what I see on the street. And you've got kind of people that aren't on X don't know who he is, but like the cat turd, not singling him out, but he's kind of the example of you criticize anything out of Trump and say it's wrong or dangerous. You're an enemy. You're an Iranian agent. You're a Qatari agent. You're a Russian agent, whatever. And that's now a smaller minority. The numbers all show it. People are totally turning against Trump. It's so sad. And then he responds. We'll play the compilation here in a moment with his latest statement, some of the previous ones. I don't care about inflation. In fact, I love inflation. I don't worry about the average American. I'm a war president. I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. Even if he actually believes that, and I get he's saying this is the main issue, he should say, if this happens, everything else goes out the window. I care about all that, but I got to focus on this priority, even though there's short-term pain, long-term gain. He doesn't do that. He just says, I don't even care about you. The most, which is exactly what you get with frontal early onset dementia, with no governor on this. And I do think that's probably what's happening here. Here's that short excerpt of his latest statement.
Are you concerned, Mr. President, about the latest inflation number which came out this morning? Could that be a...
No, I love it. The numbers were great. You know what I really love? I love the inflation. You know why? Because as soon as this war is over, you know, I can say it now, something you didn't know. Do you know we've been taking out millions of barrels of oil? Nobody knows it. You know who doesn't know about it? Iran until right now.
When you're negotiating with Iran, Mr. President, to what extent are American financial situations motivating you to make a deal?
Not even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about Americans' financial situation. I don't think about anybody. I think about one thing. We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon.
We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things. They can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection.
So the Democrats were sitting around saying, we have a mind control machine, hypothetically, that can control Trump. How do we get him to say things that will destroy them in the midterms? He continues to do this. What the hell is that?
I mean, I think it is a declining mental state because he's, you know, always been a little unfiltered, but now the whole filter is gone. I mean, there's a part of him that really does think he picked the Pope. There's a part of him that thinks he is entitled to pick the next supreme leader of Iran. That remember that whole thing with how he met Mr. Toyota, and Mr. Toyota promised him all this investment in the U.S. And Mr. Toyota had been dead for 3 years at the time of that meeting. And you could tell he confabulated in real time. We've known people that have gone through this, and the confabulation is powerful. It's delusional thinking. And what happens is he's operating by all these different fears. And what worked for about 10 days was Iran through Pakistan relayed that if they didn't get either an exit, the blockade opened, or a deal to facilitate that, then they were going to show off their development of nuclear weapons. They were going to show it off to the world as a humiliation of Trump and as a deterrent to Israel. And whether or not they actually are on pace, we've always known that they have the capacity. They just haven't had the will to do it. Now the person who wrote the fatwa against the nuclear weapons is dead.
Let's start over. I'm going to give you the floor until we go to break. But this is a whole other topic. I was told almost two decades ago by sources that they knew they had the uranium, the different sources and ways they were able to do it with Snoop cars and planes and things that pick up the level of enrichment. And that it would very easy 1940s technology to put it together. Now Iran said that fatwa doesn't matter. We can put one together in a week. That was 2 months ago. Now they're like, yeah, we're going to get nukes. And so that totally changes the paradigm. Now we have all these CIA analysts saying, indeed, they do have five bombs. Now they have delivery systems. How does that change the equation?
So it appeared to work on Trump for about 10 days after he was told that that would be a consequence if he didn't get a deal done or exit. That's when he all of a sudden started saying, oh, he wanted to have tea with the Supreme Leader and meet the Supreme Leader and nice guy and all these people are good people. And he was trying to de-escalate and telling BB, you know, you got to get back in a box and get under control. That's when all that happened, was after the Iranians leaked through the Pakistanis that they would develop, that they have a nuclear weapon and they will show it off to the world if Trump doesn't get stepped back. And it's because Trump's psychology increasingly is that of a toddler. It's driven kind of purely by fear. So at one moment, he's afraid of looking like Barack Obama by doing a deal that gives Iran money. The next minute, he's afraid of being George W. Bush and stuck in an endless war in the Middle East. The next minute, he's afraid of becoming Jimmy Carter and leaving somebody behind that gets held hostage in Iran. That has deterred him going in militarily and escalating.
Then he's worried about his economic recovery being derailed. So he says, I don't care about inflation. Exactly. He's not decisive anymore.
No. And he watches Fox obsessively now. So he can't handle too much criticism. That's why, you know, every time there's a deal done, the Israel lobby goes ballistic online and on ballistic on Fox. And Trump walks it back within 24 hours. And he rug pulls Vice President Vance, who just got a deal done. And then the terms get harsher and the economic conditions get worse and his political prospects diminish. And he's afraid. Unfortunately, he's not afraid of losing the midterms for policy reasons. He's afraid for investigation and impeachment reasons, because the scale of corruption that most Trump voters do not know about is going to shock them.
And that's where I was going to go next. And here's the thing. I want Trump to succeed. The Democrats have sworn to destroy me, as you know, you too. But I have a responsibility to call balls and strikes. And I know you're even better at this than me. The insider trading by his cabinet and his family, Pelosi was the grand champion. They've now eclipsed her. Open foreign governments, billions in, you know, to their investment companies with no return back. He promises blanket pardons for the entire administration from the janitor up to cabinet. And I'm sorry, I will not sign on to that. Even though I want the Democrats to fail, I get they're horrible. But at the same time, we can't then go, well, he's better than them, so let's do this. We got 1 minute to break, but just give us a prelude. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, the scale and scope of corruption is worse than it's been in any American administration in American political history. Worse than what happened under Grant after the Civil War.
Wow.
Worse than what happened under any Democratic administration. And as you point out, Alex, the reason we bring this up is to try to salvage it, to get people to clean things up before the midterms and definitely before 2028. Because when Democrats take back, if they take back all three branches, we're all proper screwed. So
we got to go to break. But basically, you agree with me. This is foaming at the mouth, chicken with the head cut off, robbing everything.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Everything that, you know, like Clinton style when they left the White House, taking everything that wasn't, you know, drilled.
Let me show you historical. They say the most corrupt president ever for looting was Ulysses S. Grant. We'll be right back with Robert Barnes on the other side. This is bad news, folks. But we're trying to head it all to the past, but we're doing the best we can. Stay with us. We have the very best, strongest methylene blue. from a medical-grade company that produces it for medical firms. Instead of using radioactive iodine, you know, to track stuff before surgeries, they're more and more using methylene blue. So I told Bigley, I said, get me whatever the highest rate it is. So they spent like 6 months and said, where is it? And they said, oh, this is a medical firm in Florida. They don't even sell this for human consumption, though it's great for that. And I'm like, okay, great. So some bottles of it came in, sat there about a week. Because I'd taken methylene blue before, barely felt any energy, knew it was really good for your mitochondria. And, you know, so it's time to sell it. We're going to do it. Kennedy's promoting it. This was a year and a half ago, almost years ago. They're like, hey, boss, you know, it's coming out tomorrow. You got to cut the ads. I went, well, I haven't tried it yet. This better be good. And so the show ends, and I had a glass of iced tea, just like I do today. Okay? And I take one dropper and put it in the iced tea. And so I only drink half the iced tea. So I took half a dropper, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling warm and like electricity in my hands. I'd forgotten I'd taken it because I'm busy doing stuff at the show. And I go into the bathroom and I take my shirt off, and I turned red. Not like hives, like it was distributed. I'm already pretty tan. Tan good, a little bit Native American, some of the benefits of that. But I was like even redder, and I was like, what is this? And I'm like, electricity. I go, oh, that's what people say methylene blue does if it's really good. And I was like, and I started feeling so good. I was like, this is kind of scary. And about an hour into it, I go, I hope this stops because it was getting too good. That happened to Derek. He took it and said, I'm scared to take it. I just thought he was on acid. So it's psychoactive everything, okay? I mean, this is not a freaking game, okay? It skips the oxygenation process, two steps in the cells, and all this other wild stuff. And so my medical doctor 6-7 years ago, wellness clinics all over the state, he's got like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees. It's ridiculous. He said, and by the way, I want you to get methylene blue. It'll be USP grade. Just get it wherever. Just make sure it's USP grade, meaning it's, you know, medical grade. And I ordered it and tried it and really didn't feel any energy. When, you know, but I'm sure it was good for me, but I'd forget to take it. So I was like, okay, everybody wants methylene blue. I know it's good. We'll get it. We'll sell it. You'll get the best. I take this, and it is nothing like any methylene blue I ever took. I mean, it is strong. It's amazing. But just like Group told me with the pure atomic iodine that it would do great stuff with my skin, those liver spots I had, you can go back to shows 14, 15 years ago before Group came along, and you can see those spots I had. They're gone, baby. Gone. Literally gone. It's amazing. But within 2 weeks of taking the methylene blue, the guy I trained with was like, hey, are you on something? Did you get a steroid prescription or something? I was like, no. And he goes, well, what's going on? I mean, you're losing weight even quicker, and now you used to have trouble doing 10 pull-ups, and you just did 20. And man, you're like pushing like on the leg press twice what you were a month ago. What the hell's going on, dude? You're like glowing. And Sean Johnson told the story, and I said, it's methylene blue. He's a former Navy SEAL, Navy SEAL trainer, all that. He took it, gave his testimony about how within 30 minutes he was all zinned out and it was crazy and everything. This stuff really works. Now, when you first take it, you get the crazy effects psychologically. You always feel the energy some, but as it builds up, it's not even a tolerance. It's when your body hasn't had this, it really notices it at first. But the first time you take it, I say take a quarter dropper. Talk to your physician, too, because if you're on SSRIs or some other drugs, it'll make you jump off a building. I mean, people have taken methylene blue when they're on Prozac and they jump off buildings. Okay? That's rare. Usually women just pull their clothes off and start having orgies and stuff. I mean, I'm serious. Okay? I mean, like, you want to go cuckoo town, take this with SSRIs and you're going to cuckoo town. Because that's how strong this is. Okay? That's what this does. And we know it's good for you. But this is not a joke. Okay? I don't sell crap.
Weeks and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Get busy time.
I guess you didn't know.
Get busy time.
I guess you didn't know.
Get busy time.
I guess you didn't know.
Get busy.
I guess I
did. Get busy. Get busy. Get busy.
I guess I did.
Get busy. Get busy. Get busy. Get busy.
I guess I did.
Those of us that want to promote a pro-human, stable, dynamic, competitive, rugged, individualistic future, and we are here. This is a main focal point of the human resistance to humanity. I'm Alex Jones. This is the ongoing war for the mind. This is the InfoWar. AlexJonesLive.com. We got to do it, Robert. We have to talk about it, because once the stealing starts, and you alluded to this earlier, Trump was very overall accurate, made a lot of mistakes letting bad guys around him, but was very truthful in general, wrong sometimes, but I knew the issues. They would say he was lying about something, 99% of the time wasn't true. So the corporate media had a problem back then the last 8-9 years because they had to lie constantly. Now, it absolutely emboldens them because they can sit there and attack Trump all day and cover up for what they've done. He covers up for Epstein. That covers up for all of them. That's another microcosm, Bill Gates in Congress, saying he was blackmailed by Epstein. I'll get your take on that. But just listing some of the stuff and the idea that he can get, you know, $400 million airplanes from Qatar and have, you know, Saudis and others put billions into his kids' companies, and all the other people that have kids, other than like Bessette, they're all literally making billions. And you've got Kushner with Trump's daughter saying, oh, yeah, a couple of years ago with the Rothschilds, we're taking over this island with the prime minister. Turns out they've got the deal. Millions protest. They go, there's no deal. It's made up. They ought to see that opposition and give them an idea. So Trump's trying to hang all this on a pardon, and he wants loyalty from all his people to loot everything. And obviously there's insider trading on these wars and the rest of it. So I didn't think anybody could eclipse Pelosi, who has a, you know, double any other brokerage firm or company with her stock pick. She's the grand champion. Now she's being put to shame. And there's just, once the corruption starts, it's like a mad bum rush here. And then obviously this is all going to come out. What the hell is Trump thinking? And when you've looked at it, how bad is it? Because I know whatever we know is bad. Imagine how much worse it is. Robert Barnes.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's very, very bad. And I've been trying to encourage, I mean, they did get rid of two people that were notoriously corrupt. We were warning all along about what Corey Lewandowski was up to with Christy Nome, that they were doing all kinds of insider secret no-bid contracts worth billions of dollars for friends and pals and donors and allies. They finally, as the Democrats developed all of that intel, they dumped Christy Nome and Corey Lewandowski. Then they got around over to the Labor Department, where the Labor Secretary was busy, both she and her husband, chasing either boys or girls around the office at the Labor Department. They finally got rid of her. Pay for play, Pam Bondi had been living up to her reputation. As soon as she came into the administration, she canceled all of FARA investigations against anybody that was politically connected to the administration, and canceled all Foreign Corrupt Practices Act investigations concerning big corporations that she and Susie Wiles had worked for, like Pfizer. Like, one of the big ones was not only the Qui-Tam case here pending in the U.S. that I represent Brooke Jackson on against Pfizer, but there were cases against Pfizer related to lying about the COVID vaccine all around the world as a Foreign Corrupt Practices Act crime of a U.S. corporation. She canceled every single one of those investigations. Then it proceeded over to the Antitrust Division of the Justice Department, where for people like Mike Davis, who are unregistered lobbyists, were lobbying for big corporations. Publicly, they would, you remember old Tony Coelho back from the Democratic days of the 90s, where the scam was, hey, go out and threaten to prosecute somebody, go out and threaten to pass some legislation that affects a big industry, then we'll go to that industry and shake them down for donor cash, and then kill the legislation or kill the investigation. Well, that's what Mike Davis was doing systematically. He was he was over there promoting somebody to be investigated by antitrust. Then he would get hired by the company for the antitrust on the down low, start lobbying for a sweetheart deal to protect those big corporations, including Live Nation connected to Ticketmaster, including Larry Ellison connected to the deal to buy at CNN that's forthcoming, Paramount Plus through his son. Who Ellison is deeply entwined with the Israel lobby, deeply entwined with all of this. Mike Davis is sort of basically decided to run interference for all these corrupt actors, run interference for the Israel lobby as the quid pro quo to making as much as $1 million a pop. So and that's just in the antitrust division, in the Qui-Tam division, in the civil fraud division, in the criminal fraud division. They have been shaking people down and say, look, we can get rid of your case. We can dismiss it. We can give you a pardon. We can give you a commutation if you write a check to the right people. And these are seven-figure checks getting written. That's just in the pay-for-play pardon schemes that took place. Then you get to other departments. To give an example, why did the FDA commissioner McCarkey resign? He resigned because he didn't want big tobacco to be pushing vapes on kids without informed consent. And so the vape companies went down, cut a deal. Susie Wiles arranged it, made a bunch of big donations to the right people, Mar-a-Lago. And the Trump administration came back and told McCarkey, no, we're going to let the vape companies do whatever they want. Big tobacco do whatever they want. And McCarkey protested by resigning. The similarly in the Treasury Department, this slush fund deal that Trump was creating wasn't really to help people who are victims of weaponization. It was to help friends and pals. How do I know? There are separate settlement funds and judgment funds that have already been authorized by Congress for the pending suits. The J6 victims have already filed suit on. I filed suit on behalf of Robin Gripps, another whistleblower. There's a bunch of whistleblowers that have pending cases either in the legal system or the administrative claims processing system. And that's where you would put that money if it was meant for them. That was just a lie that Trump told. It was meant as another way to just lie in his own pockets and his family's pockets. Then you got the crypto deals where he convinced his own voters and supporters to invest in the Trump coin and the Melania coin. And all of them turned out to be rug pulls.
Pump and dump.
Complete pump and dump schemes. But part of it was it became a funneling technique for corruption. So various Emiratis gave up to about $500 million through those funds, crypto, by investing in those crypto funds, knowing they were valueless. It just gets dollar for dollar transferred into the Trump world. Donald Trump Jr. has created the executive club up in Washington, D.C., where for $500,000, he can get you meetings with anybody you want. So that you pay $500,000 to be part of this executive club. And the privilege is,
he's the new Hunter Biden.
Yes, they are making Hunter Biden look like street level drug dealers as they turn around and say, this is how you run a drug cartel.
So let's stop there. We all know this is true. We had to report it. It's not about politics. It's about being honest. What changed? Because I didn't see almost any of this. Kushner did side deals, you know, before it was like one on a Richter scale. This is a 10. And then if we pull back from all of this, why would they be so reckless? Why would they think that they could basically engage in this type of behavior? What changed? What changed?
That I am still very curious about that. So I think something flipped psychologically in Trump, because you're absolutely right. In Trump's first term, he lost money. First president to lose wealth in a long time while being in the White House. Lost almost half of his wealth. Then they tried to bankrupt him afterwards and all the lawfare being brought against him and imprison him for life and tried to murder him twice. He told his sons, Don and Eric, no deals with the government in his first term. Not going to do that. He brought in Jared Kushner as a full employee, which meant anything Kushner did was subject to ethics.
And he didn't launch wars like he said. So the left goes, oh, you admit you're wrong. No, I was right about that, Trump. Did they replace his brain? And I'm going to go back to this, the last point you made before you get back into crypto and finish up in this subject, because that other one I'll get to. If you look at this, that's what I said even before Trump got back in. I said, if I was evil, and I wouldn't say he was going to do this, but my concern was, you put in Kennedy, you put in Gabbard, you put in all these good people, they then find all the corruption. You put in Elon Musk with Doge, then you use those files to blackmail the deep state to roll over to you, something Trump never did before. That's really the sophisticated dirty move if you want to control it and not end it. And then now, regardless whether he knows it or whatever, that's what's done. They take the information from Kennedy and Musk and all of it, then they use it, they go in, and they flip it all over to themselves and take it over. That's why the Republicans don't want the SAVE Act, because they're now using the election fraud to target candidates that aren't neocons or aren't Israeli operatives. I think pretty clearly that's what's happening, and that Trump, whether it's from frontal lobe dementia or he just got tired and joined the dark side, definitely one way or another, he's begun to join the dark side. The question is, how deep will he go, and could he be turned back? That's a lot to unpack. Robert Barnes.
Yeah, I mean, to give people some numbers that back this up, well, he lost almost half his wealth in his first term. In his second term, he has added more to his own personal wealth than all the presidents before him during and after the presidencies combined. In just the first year, he's just staggeringly almost doubled his wealth in the billions and billions and billions. his son Don Jr. went from being worth maybe $50 million to worth over $500 million and is on his way to being a billionaire. Eric Trump Jr., the same, worth maybe $100 million max on the high side, depending on what his inheritance interest was in the Trump organization, now on his path to becoming a billionaire. Jared Kushner, is now a billionaire. So he went from being a multimillionaire to a multi-billionaire. If you look at who's invested, as you pointed out, it's the Saudis that have heavily invested, the Emiratis who've heavily invested, the Qataris who've heavily invested, the buying that Cezanne Island. Everything about that is weird. I mean, it's a former military island with all kinds of bunkers and tunnels underneath. What they're really up to there is, and it's triggered the Flamingo protest in Albania, which of course is the centerpiece for human trafficking in the world, as you've detailed in the past. So what exactly, and it's the Rothschilds that are setting up that system, or helped set that whole thing in motion. Nathaniel Rothschild, personal family friends, really close family friends of the Kushners, would suggest family friends to Trump. You've got various foreign leaders, the giving away property in their own countries, like the Albanian did, in order to get access to the Trump administration, because they think pay for play is how everything's supposed to work, in the Trump administration. You've got him keeping Witkoff and Kushner as non-employees so that they're not governed by conflict of interest or disclosure requirements. And what I've heard is that when they do these deals, they're doing side deals and shakedowns on the side. Trump's operating the White House like it's a New York crime family, but just at scale. And people have been afraid to talk about it, but all kinds of key high-ranking SEC investigator came in, wanted to clean things up, like the people you're talking about, Kennedy Doge, Musk, Tulsi Gabbard, Amaryllis Fox, Joe Kent. And almost all of them now are gone. The few that are there just, barely holding on to try to get something done. And Inspector General, the head counsel for the Department of Treasury quit because he knew that what was going on in the behind the deals deal and the IRS deal.
So let me ask you this, and it's all speculation. Did he get frontal lobe dementia 3, 4, 6 months into the new term? Or was it all really sophisticated, get all the dirt, have good guys find it, then use that dossier to take over the system? Is he using the Epstein file to blackmail the deep state?
And he's using it to enrich and empower himself and the deep state allies. Rather than
that was a question. So you think that's what he's doing?
I don't know how sophisticated that part is. I wouldn't rule it out.
But he's got sophisticated operators under him that are doing it.
Yes. Yeah. No doubt about that. Because whoever came up with the plan to have Witkoff and Kushner not be official employees but be envoys. This is why Rubio's answer to the Senate was, "Oh, they're private citizens, so they're just volunteering their time, so they're not governed by any of these conflict of interest rules." Somebody thought about that in advance. Some sophisticated legal team, maybe a Todd Blanche, thought about that in advance.
Who he now wants to be the official AG. So big picture, look into your crystal ball, from bad to worse, would the midterms Democrats probably win? I mean, I guess because he's kind of joined the establishment, they're going to leave him alone, or they're going to let Trump sell off the sunset, or what's going to happen?
No, they're going to crucify Trump, Democratic payback principally. And their voters have a heavy appetite, and they have been gathered ProPublica, public citizen, the old reformer side of the Democratic Party, the old antitrust side of the Democratic Party. They've been gathering these files in mass. So they know, I'll give just one illustration. Kazakhstan has got some critical rare minerals that we want. The Trump talks to Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan agrees to put that up to auction and bid. The Don Jr. and Eric decide to invest in a company that then invests on a bid on that rare earth material from Kazakhstan. And weird things happen, and suddenly their company gets it.
I mean, that's beyond conflict of interest. That's cut and dry fraud. I mean, that's cut and dry espionage, treason. Yeah. I mean, it's absolute his own family getting contracts that Trump has forced deals with foreign countries. I mean, it's just like.
Yep. And apparently,
what's crazy is they're not even putting it in shell companies where his kids are on the board. They're just going directly to it.
Exactly. It's so blatant. It's like we've gone full Israel somehow. We're bombing and killing kids in Iran. We think escalation is the solution to everything. We think assassinations are a great idea during negotiations. We think like Israelis do at the top right now.
You're talking about megalomania, because if you look at Ben Gavir, yes, Netanyahu, any of this, it's megalomania.
Completely. And Trump's got it bad. Like, this is not the same Trump we've known for a long, long time. That's where you're getting the golden statue in his library, the golden statue on his golf course. Did he ask? He was the one who asked that minister to go down and bless that golden statue. I mean, that's like something out of the Old Testament.
Moses comes down there, works from the golden calf. So let me ask you this. Back to Albania, for people that don't know, and Barnes says stuff, there's a lot packed into it. Until the corporate media was totally controlled about 10 years ago, tens of thousands of articles, BBC, AP, Reuters, London Guardian, Der Spiegel, that Albania, out of Serbia, the Balkans, Eastern Europe, millions of women and children a year, you see me on PBS, are shipped out of there to the Muslim countries, Africa, Asia, around the world. Most of the UN officials have like sex slaves, dungeons. They're always getting caught. So Albania is if you have to say one hub is the worst human trafficking center in the world, it's Albania, out to the Mediterranean right there. Now there's this old Russian nuke base, submarine bases, giant underground bases, hundreds of nuclear bunkers, a whole city for an elite. The Rothschilds with them are paying $5 billion from the government. They put up fences on the national park where everybody goes to lay out. Ivanka announces they've taken the land. They're building an airport with the Germans. And then everybody demonstrates by the millions, and they say there's no such thing, nothing's happening, when they're on video saying it. So, yeah, you want an island a couple miles off the coast at the center of human trafficking with the Rothschilds, who are the main Rothschilds in the emails talking about all this stuff with Epstein, Nat Rothschild. I mean, you couldn't make this up. I mean, this is like Pinocchio when they take the kids and enslave them and take them to the island. I mean, what the hell?
I mean, not only could it be like Epstein Island 2, a dystopian sort of Fallout-style shelter location, but people have pointed out that Israel's been looking at places to expand into the Mediterranean, trying to buy up properties in Cyprus, but now they're getting pushback from both the Turks and the Greeks.
Oh, they want to fall back. Argentina, they're like the Germans, want to run somewhere.
And is this island part of that process? Albania's been purged of most of its population. Of the 12 million Albanians in the world, 10 million live outside of Albania because of the Yugoslav wars, because of us breaking up the Balkans. What we made is we made Albania into a rump mafia state, not only notoriously corrupt, but a very impoverished population. And out of the blue, because the other question you have to ask is, why did the Kushners go public with this? The only reason
you're reading my mind, why would they be so tone deaf to say, we're with the Rothschilds, we're taking their island and their coastline, and then deny it when everybody knows they're doing it and put a fence up so they can't get into the national park? Sorry, go ahead.
I think they were trying to get ahead of a story that was forthcoming. I think that there's some sort of Israeli government connection to what they're doing here. We don't know the full scale of what military equipment the Soviets left behind down there. We know it was a critically important military base. Everybody was excluded from it during the communist era.
Well, everybody's seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, because the Germans did have this, where they go into the mountain island and it's underground, under a mountain, what do they call it? Submarine pens. It's a giant Russian submarine nuke base.
And you got like bunkers going everywhere. So if you wanted to make Epstein Island 2, right next to the center of human trafficking in the world, one of the most corrupt governments in the world, an easily bribable government in the world, we've got some of the same Qataris, Emiratis, and Saudis that are purportedly part of this deal. Then all of a sudden, the official story is a cover story. Because even what Ivanka said made no sense. What she said is that, it was like something reading out of like Daisy's character out of The Great Gatsby, Ivanka Trump. But, we were out on our yacht and we just decided to take a little swim and we went up to the island and we hiked it all and it was so beautiful. I said, I must have it, honey.
And we just magically picked it out. Like I saw a puppy in the window. It was just spontaneous. Yeah, I agree. You're right now. That's why you're so astute. Because I didn't know the answer. That's it. They were getting ahead of it, acting like it was just some magically, it's just them, when literally they're the front for the Saudis, for these other groups, and the Israelis, who are the public funders of it. And then they have the prime minister go, none of it's true, there's nothing being built, when a month ago they put up a GD fence over the whole national park and won't even let them on the coastline.
Exactly. And what people pointed out in Albania is they said her story couldn't make sense because the island is filled with poisonous snakes at the moment. So they're like, there was no barefoot hiking on that island. So then it became, okay, why is she telling this cover story? It's because they are, as you point out, they're the face of a operation that has deeper, darker intentions. Whether it's military intentions, hiding intentions. I mean, as you've been pointing out, they sure are building up bunkers all around the world. The rich people have been doing this, the ultra rich now. And Trump's ballroom looks like a disguise for some massive bunker set.
There's underground railways there and already bunkers. They're creating a bunker complex because the employees now want access to the bunker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look.
Remember in Dr. Strangelove, he goes, "Mr. President, George C. Scott, we must not allow a mine shaft gap."
Yes, exactly. That's correct. By the way, we got some people in the military right now. Hegseth is like a character right out of Dr. Strangelove.
The big bull. I didn't say we wouldn't get 20, 30 million killed. Get our hair musk. I mean, come on. Guys, pull up Dr. Strangelove. I'm going to hold you over. You got to do a little bit more. Pull up Dr. Strangelove. We cannot allow a mine shaft gap, which were actually real war games at the Pentagon. They were ready for nuclear war, and they were going to have the elite all move into mine shafts for 100 years. What's crazy is this is all real stuff they were planning.
Well, now you combine that with the eugenics agenda, right? Like, you know, there's several ways you could try to purge the world's population. One was the abuse of birth control. Another was to create a culture that discouraged women having children and society having families. That's already happened throughout China.
And now it's got to be done by test tube babies, which they already have.
Correct. And what would be the next step? It would be to have nuclear war, but the elite protected in this sort of underground. It's right
out of course, there'd have to be three women to every male selected for the stimulating quality because there would be much time and little to do.
I have to admit, you have an astounding idea there, Doctor.
That's animals exactly would have to be bred and slaughtered, mein Führer!
Indeed, exactly. And now these, excuse me, things like this island look very differently in that context.
Well, I was looking it up. Like, there's like 20,000 bunkers or something. Like, this is like the Russian ultimate secret base.
Exactly. And and especially once Kushner let out that it was Rothschild. By the way, they were on that boat during COVID. While Kushner was telling the president, you got to lock down, he's hanging out with Rothschild on a boat, scouting out new dystopian Epstein Island properties. I mean, it's just, it really is, like you pointed out, this part of the simulation, if we're in a simulation, is actually well written. But I do suspect Hunter Biden is a co-author because of the kind of stories and trails that we're getting stuck on. But there's no question about, I mean, there's something about that story that does not add up from the official narrative. And it points to a darker underbelly that's very disconcerting and disturbing about how Trump has been entrapped into this elite. It's like the Fallout TV series and from based on the comic, where even good people get corrupted or coerced along the way. I will say that what Joe Ken is saying has some credibility too, because I know some people that talk to the president that the president said he doesn't want to do as many rallies anymore because of the assassination risk. So he didn't used to be obsessed with that. He now apparently is increasingly obsessed with it. So you might have a combination of fear of assassination, getting embedded with this corrupt elite, early onset frontal lobe dementia, behavioral dementia. And what is that's a cocktail that creates a lot of trouble for us and the entire world.
I agree. To do a little bit more time, as much as you can, Robert Barnes, be sure and follow him on X. We'll put the URL up there on site. And what's the best site? VivaBarnes.law?
Oh, yeah, VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com.
VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com. Stay right there. I'm seeing you all the place. Tomorrow to fall, you name it. You're kicking ass. I want to come back and ask positive things that are happening. How do we get out of this? We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look. Vodka. Potato hooch.
Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow. The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc. I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, me and Barnes next time we're going to talk about solutions and positive things. And I'll get back in the SPLC hearings. We haven't aired yet. They're incredible. Them running the white supremacy groups. But Barnes, we're talking during the break about just how bad it is. And people behind the scenes like RFK Jr. And J.D. Vance, who we're not just trying to lionize. We know the inside baseball. This is accurate information. They're in between laughing and crying. Repeat everything you can say here on air about what's going on there.
Yeah, so there are people still trying to do good work, trying to restrain the president, trying to redirect and keep the sort of OG 2024 coalition voters policy goals alive. And it's primarily now Elbridge Colby at the Undersecretary of Defense and his main deputy, who's very committed to trying to getting us out of this Iranian conflict and limiting Mideastern regime change efforts in general. It's Robert Kennedy and his allies at the HHS. Now, a lot of his people have been removed from power, been pressured or coerced out, but Kennedy is still working daily to try to get as much positive done as he can while he is still there. The Tulsi Gabbard is now out. Her deputy, Amaryllis Fox, is now out. That's Robert Kennedy's daughter-in-law. Both of them were not gung-ho on this Iran war or the direction of the administration and key reform aspects, but Tulsi is going to try to, before she's out at the end of the month, get as much intel and information she can. Not only on the Kennedy and King assassinations that are still missing files that have not yet been produced, but also a Ukraine Biolabs report, a COVID 2020 report about what really went on in the pandemic, and a 2020 elections report. Now that she's been kind of pushed out early, her goal was to have until November to get that out. Now she's going to try to get out what she can here in June. And so but then ODNI, there's one or two good people still left there, but that's about it. The reason why Colby was being spied on by the Israelis and his deputy is because the Israelis know that Colby, knows that the Iran war was a mistake tactically, strategically, militarily, and consequently is trying to do whatever he can within his position as the number two at the Defense Department. You remember Colby's grandfather. He was the man, Bill Colby, who outed the CIA's family jewels. And he was a very patriotic man, but he didn't tolerate that kind of corruption against the American people. So that's the stock that Elbridge Colby comes from. Now, Michael Anton was at the State Department. He left because he saw the writing on the wall of where Rubio was taking things. Most of the good people are now out of the Justice Department. Most of the good people are now out at the State Department. But there are some key people left in the Health Department, the Defense Department, the sort of everyday analyst in the intelligence apparatus.
Sure. What does it say that the Defense Intelligence Agency came out and said Israel is the highest threat level? I mean, that shows that's not like one person or a group. That's official. That's a good sign, right?
Absolutely. That was a sign that Colby still had weight. He's the number two at the Defense Department under Hegseth. He will likely replace Hegseth. Or I like to call him Hegg's death. Max Blumenthal came up with that, but it's a pretty good accurate phrase for him these days. But if he gets out, Colby could be promoted to the Secretary of War position. And Colby's a restrainer. Colby's a geopolitical realist. the national security strategy and national defense strategy in that Riyadh speech that President made last year, early last year, that was against these kind of wars were all penned by Elbridge Colby and his deputy. His deputy is a very smart guy too. He's part of the defense priorities before he came over the administration. They have allies in the Defense Intelligence Agency. And Tulsi did try to purge the bad faith actors, but the, and got part of the way there. But the reality is Ratcliffe, it has undermined and sabotaged.
And that's the CIA. So is she really leaving because the husband's cancer, or is she just done?
No, she was forced out. She was forced out. And so she wanted to have enough.
By the way, you have all the, I believe you have the sources to elaborate. She was forced out.
Oh yeah, the Tulsi Gabbard was forced out over the Iran war and because she wouldn't publicly condemn Joe Kent. Trump was enraged. He wanted everybody to go out and bash Joe Kent, which was a bad idea and bad form on Trump's part anyway. But she refused to do that because that isn't who and what she is. And so her days were numbered, and the for a period of time it looked like she'd be able to extend her stay, and then Trump said no. And that's why she's out.
Well, I heard it was going to be Pulte at Housing that was going to be over this new position to take Tulsi's old job. But now there's a new nominee. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies and issues of no significance and classism and statism and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today. AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
Mr. President. I would not rule out the chance to preserve a nucleus of human specimens. It would be quite easy. At the bottom of some of our deeper mine shafts, radioactivity would never penetrate a mine some thousands of feet deep. And in a matter of weeks, sufficient improvements in dwelling space could easily be provided.
How long would you have to stay down there?
Well, let's see now. Cobalt sodium G. Radioactive half life of. I would think that possibly 100 years.
You mean people could actually stay down there for 100 years?
It would not be difficult, my Führer. Nuclear reactors could... I'm sorry, Mr. President. Nuclear reactors could provide power almost indefinitely. Greenhouses could maintain plant life. Animals could be bred and slaughtered. Quick survey would have to be made of all the available mine sites in the country. But I would guess... that dwelling space for several hundred thousand of our people could easily be provided.
Well, I would hate to have to decide who stays up and who goes down.
Well, that would not be necessary, Mr. President. Could easily be accomplished with a computer. And the computer could be set and programmed to accept factors from youth, health, sexual fertility, intelligence, and a cross-section of necessary skills. Of course, it would be absolutely vital that our top government and military men be included to foster and impart the required principles of leadership and tradition. Ah! Naturally, they would breed prodigiously, eh? There would be much time and little to do. But with the proper breeding techniques and a ratio of, say, 10 females to each male, I would guess that they could then work their way back to the present gross national product within, say, 20 years.
But look here, Doctor, wouldn't this nucleus of survivors be so grief-stricken and anguished that they'd, well, envy the dead and not want to go on living?
No, sir. Excuse me.
I'm sure.
This is literally people that got us into World War II are literally like this.
Also, when they go down into the mine, everyone would still be alive. There would be no shocking memories. And the prevailing motion will be one of nostalgia for those left behind, combined with a spirit of bold curiosity for the adventure ahead.
It's all impromptu.
Doctor, you mentioned the ratio of 10 women to each man. Wouldn't that necessitate the abandonment of the so-called monogamous sexual relationship? I mean, as far as men were concerned.
Regrettably, yes. But it is, you know, a sacrifice required for the future of the human race. I hasten to add that since each man will be required to do prodigious service along these lines, the women will have to be selected for their sexual characteristics, which will have to be of a highly stimulating nature.
I must confess, you have an astonishingly good idea there, Doctor.
Thank you, sir.
I think we ought to look at this from a military point of view. I mean, supposing the Ruskies stashed away some big bomb, see, and we didn't. When they come out in 100 years, they could take over.
I agree, Mr. President. In fact, they might even try an immediate sneak attack so they could take over our mineshaft space.
Yeah, I think it'd be extremely naive of us, Mr. President, to imagine that these new developments are going to cause any change in Soviet expansionist policy. I mean, we must be increasingly on the alert to prevent them from taking over other mineshaft space in order to breed more prodigiously than we do, thus knocking us out through superior numbers when we emerge. Mr. President, we must not allow a mineshaft gap.
Sir, I have a plan.
I didn't mean to blame 5 minutes of that, but it's literally all based on real people, real things proposed by Curtis LeMay, LLM, and so that Operation Northwoods plan. And now it's all over the news. I told you a decade before, bunkers everywhere, secret airfields, redoubts. They're literally going to the mineshaft gap, Robert Barnes. So you've got the floor. I appreciate you holding. Solutions, other key points we should know, ways out of this, what the public should be doing with all this insanity. Because part of the elites knowing things are breaking down to being real aristocrats trying to fix society, they had the Great Reset to make it implode, pose as saviors. That didn't work. So now it's imploding anyways. And so they're all just building bunkers and super yachts as if that's going to protect them. Their own security is going to eat them. Robert Barnes.
Yeah, we need the good faith actors to be able to persuade the president by one way or another to do a deal and exit at a minimum. I think that Trump is increasingly deal incapable. For the man that's the art of the deal, he's become the art of the no deal, whether we're talking about Russia, Ukraine, or China over tariffs, or the U.S.-Iran conflict. He doesn't seem to be willing or capable to make the necessary choices to get a deal done. So I think that Joe Ken is right that we should be encouraging exit, 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 exit. Just get out. Declare victory, go, come home. Trump's very good at doing that, and that's what we need to do, or the economy will worsen to such a degree that it may be beyond redemption in the midterms and going into his own impeachment risk in 2027. The Vice President Vance continues to do good work to try to cheer on and defend and protect when Robert Kennedy is able to achieve things. Looks like we will get a change to the vaccine schedule, that Kennedy has been successful at that despite efforts by Tony Fabrizio and others to mislead the president and his staff into thinking that questioning vaccines is somehow a political third rail when it isn't in the post-COVID era. The There's people like Ed Martin still in the Justice Department, so encouraging and protecting them whenever and wherever possible to continue to get the work done that Tulsi Gabbard is trying to get done before the end of the month, and to cheerlead those people who continue to do good work throughout the administration, and to advocate for them while exposing those who are not doing good work as the traitors that they are to the cause of the 2024 voter coalition. And I think, and then continuing, there's still primaries yet to be had in large parts of the country, in Tennessee and Florida and elsewhere, and getting engaged in those campaigns to try to push back off the AIPAC's attempt to basically buy off all of Congress.
Yeah, let's get back into that. Your take on that. How bold is it? And you're a lawyer. You know, I've talked to lawyers. I've looked at it. Clearly, merge, integrate, fuse, synchronize our military from research and development all the way down. Israel gets the money from it, claiming co-ownership of everything. That's Netanyahu's plan to get off our tit. Would you call it a coup, a marriage? I mean, how crazy is that? And what do you expect to happen? Because that stuff's passed out of committee now.
Yes. And what they're attempting to do is to permanently bridge U.S. and Israeli intelligence, both at the technological level of our military secrets and at the various levels of bringing in information from the NSA and our intelligence sharing around the world, and to give them equal access as if they're part of the U.S. government itself. And it's our most sensitive secrets. And then they can leverage that into getting whatever they want. Without
and our politicians like it because they can now do business deals and hide the money in Israel.
That's exactly right. And that's what we're seeing at scale. And it shows how much they have bought off the members of Congress, both through their deterrence by waging war on anybody who challenges them, whether that's Thomas Massie or anyone else, that the message that gets, you know, Nancy, every Republican who voted to get the Epstein files out, other than Boebert, has now out of Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene, gone. Thomas Massie, gone. Nancy Mace, now, gone. And Trump has said he wants to take out Boebert as well. So the message has been that AIPAC runs the Congress. And we need to see pushback in both parties' primaries, Republican and Democratic, against this. Now, that deep state hack Goldman might go down in New York to a Israel skeptic Democratic challenger. And like I have my own doubts and criticisms of Mamdani, but I would prefer Mamdani Democrats to AIPAC Democrats. And so seeing AIPAC lose anywhere is a good thing for the country because they have so badly hijacked our foreign policy and sabotaged our domestic policy that they are completely undermining the capacity of any.
Well, that's right. If the Muslim Democrats have the dominance of AIPAC, I would say vote for some other group, but you're saying the Muslims haven't ripened their takeover yet. Israel has. So even these Muslim communists are better than AIPAC.
Yeah, they are from a congressional level because AIPAC is our number one threat. I mean, that's what the Defense Intelligence Agency basically said on the spying. They didn't say Russia and China and Iran or anyone else was our number one spying threat. They were saying Israel is. And that gives an idea for how bad this is. The Epstein files, without the Israel lobby, the Epstein files get fully disclosed.
Well, let's get an update on that. What do you make of Bill Gates saying he was blackmailed by Epstein? I think it's a lot bigger than that. We have the emails. They talk about killing the poor people. He got confronted coming out. But where do you think the Epstein thing's going now?
I think Blanche is going to bury it as far deep as he can. It won't help in the after the midterms because that makes it easy for them to go through the impeachment process. And he sets himself up for criminal prosecution by a Democratic AG. He's not worried about that because Trump has promised everybody, as you noted, pardons. So that's why nobody's afraid of indictments.
But will those hold up?
I think ultimately the question is whether I think our best chance to get the Epstein files disclosed, ironically, and probably our best chance for 2028 to avoid a Democratic sweep, is that President Trump be removed from office in 2027 and J.D. Vance be made president. We now know that what we reported is now publicly confirmed by the New York Times, who talked to all the people behind the scenes. J.D. Vance was arguing for the full disclosure of the Epstein files from day one.
And that's confirmed. Sources that were up there, you have good sources too, but I'm going to be clear. I met J.D. Vance once. He's a listener. He's a fan of me when I was being censored. He was, you know, even before he ran for Senate. I like him. He's very smart. He's way better than Rubio, the big neocon. But I've learned how this works now. The establishment, maybe you can put a name to it. I haven't named it yet. The establishment knows a Democrat attack has no credibility. A neocon attack has no credibility. They had Levin and Shapiro use all their capital, destroy 95% of their audience, literally, trying to push this. But if they attack the Liberty Movement saying we're agents, it has some cachet. So every time I'm like, hey, great job, Kennedy, getting most of the childhood vaccines off the schedule, no longer liability protection, that essentially bans them, great job. It's why are you sucking Trump's weenie? You're back on his train. No, I'm not. I'm supporting good stuff that happens. Or, oh, Trump says he's about to end the war. Good. Put pressure on Trump. And they say, no, if you engage Trump or you're involved, you're a traitor, just give up, vote Democrat. You know, it's all over. And that's just pure garbage. We have a lot of good Republican candidates, obviously a better party. We need to know who we're voting for, support them. And I've seen since day one these attacks on Vance claiming he's the establishment, he's the secret Manchurian candidate, he's the New World Order, from our camp as a talking point. And I remember that's where it all came from early on. Like take Palantir. I'm not paid by Palantir. I don't know Palantir. I know that it's like less than 5% of the overall spy grid. I know it's a different system. I know Alexa in my house, not my house, about 15 years listens to me. I know that the, Siri on your phone does. I know for 20 years, the smart meter does it. I know all the cars have kill switches. All the big tech companies are doing it. I know it's Oracle, Microsoft, and Amazon that run the actual giant spy grid in live time that makes Palantir look like a joke. They would never give Trump, Google, and the rest of them access to all of that. Alex Karp, who I've got issues with, said, I'll give you how it works. I'll surveil all the big tech companies with our key data systems. That's really why 3 years ago, this whole thing starts on Palantir, where people only know about Palantir. And then, and it's the same thing with Vance. They've somehow, like, people think, oh, there's a surveillance state about to be here, Palantir, when they have no idea that it's already here. Does that make sense? I mean, so what is that with Vance? And then this, cause I know he was connected, you know, Thiel funds so many of the big Republican libertarian candidates, but like, what is that? And why are they so scared of Vance? Because the establishment, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, they created the Palantir hysteria. They created the J.D. Vance hysteria. I don't know whether they're good or bad at the end of the day. I just know the establishment is on their ass claiming they're the establishment. Is that because they're threatening to be the establishment?
Well, I think you have a couple of things going on. You have the AI tech pros who have their own surveillance state agenda. Some have a true, in their minds at least, a human freedom agenda. So Elon Musk believes AI can make it redundant for people to have to work, provides universal prosperity.
There's no doubt of the whole tech constellation. In real action, he's the best. You could say it's to fool us or whatever. Okay, I judge a tree by its fruits. No doubt Musk is the best. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you've got
allied with Thiel, who I'm told is the Antichrist. So that always just makes me sit back. I'm told this guy's the devil, and I don't know if he's good or bad. By the New York Times, why is there this narrative?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the efforts to undermine, because some of those same people bought into the idea that Joe Kent was secretly working for the government. This guy's been the biggest whistleblower in the last 60 years. So they've misread some of these people, misportrayed them.
Well, he resigned to get Trump to course correct 2 weeks in. He was proven right. Trump should bring him back and thank him.
Absolutely.
Joe Kent, all because he was a commando and did work for the CIA and his wife died. Yeah, big deal. He's not hiding it. Oh, he's the CIA because he was a ground-level person. What does that mean? Exactly. What matters is your actions.
Yes. The same like with Tucker. That Tucker discovered that his father had worked for various CIA cutouts. That doesn't change that Tucker is the most important dissident voice on war in the entire in the U.S. by far. So, well, along with you. So the idea that
Tucker is the most
CIA.
Important. Let's be clear. Right. I mean, I talked about my uncle, Army Special Operations, CIA. He's the one that helped wake me up when I was a kid when he got out of it. And they go, oh, look, your family is in that. You're one of them. No. What about Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers? We need to celebrate the whistleblowers. What about Edward Snowden? Is he bad?
I know. It's an effort. It's a blackpilling effort to discourage people to believe that anybody can do anything good. And the ultimate objective is to get people to forfeit one of their few tools of power and capital, which is their vote and their voice. They want people to forfeit that by believing
that
they can't.
And accuse the other side, everything's fine, go to sleep. The black pill, everyone's bad but the flat earthers.
Yeah, exactly. And they're wrong about that with Vance. Vance got to know Thiel and was part of the early sort of new tech bros, made money through that. then transition into writing a book, and then going into public office.
But let's be clear. I don't know whether they're good or bad. All I know is the 95% of the government funding for surveillance is Oracle, Microsoft, and Amazon, and they're all pissed off because this little piglet wants at the trough. That's what I see. My larger question is, why are they after Vance? Because the deep state definitely doesn't like Vance, but they know the label deep state works, so why are they so upset about Vance?
Oh, it's because they see him as the real intelligent threat that Trump could have been but turned out not to be. They think Vance really is, that he's had every opportunity to sell out in different ways and has it throughout the he's taken. Trump himself was the source of that New York Times hit piece on Vance 2 weeks ago, because Trump is mad that Vance was right about the Iran war.
Well, he's been openly criticizing him.
Yes, exactly. And so, and all the contrary, and what happens is people lower down the food chain. Trump, Vance will play good soldier. So he won't talk about publicly what he talks about privately, though the New York Times and others have confirmed he was a skeptic of all the way through of this conflict and has been trying to get us out. But what will happen is some leak will happen from some mid-level Pentagon person that will say, oh, when I saw Vance, he was gung-ho behind this. Now that's because he's staying the good soldier. That's not because he's for the conflict at all. He's actually been critical as well of Palantir. Has said that we have to be careful what kind of merger we do, and we have to take consideration.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what I said to listeners, and I saw, quote, influencers attack me. I said, is Palantir releasing 62 million GMO mosquitoes that give you a bacteria that reduces fertility? All I'm saying is, like, in the card deck now, Big Brother is Palantir, and it's like a midget compared to Andre the Giant with these other, all I'm saying is, I mean, I cut my teeth exposing this. They're like, oh, we're about to be in a surveillance state, Palantir. And then I look at how Palantir does it, scooping all the public data and creating an algorithm to predict the future, which is super dangerous, obviously. But it's like, how about the TVs watch? They're like, I don't care about that. I don't care that I remember when I was getting divorced. I bought a new TV, never had a new TV in years. Never, I bought this big screen TV. I plug it in. I go, why don't I just read the terms of service instead of clicking it? I read it, and it's Samsung, and it says, literally, Eric Schmidt said a year after, he goes, you shouldn't be doing anything in your house or bedroom that you don't want given to third parties. I took a picture of it, covered it on air. Paul Watson wrote an article. So I'm like, Samsung TVs 15 years ago said we're watching and listening to you. No one cares. No one cares about kill switches in all the cars by law. They just go, Palantir, 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 Palantir. And at a certain point, I'm just like, what the hell is this?
Exactly. Palantir is just one piece in a much broader equation. Peter Thiel is more of a boogeyman. He dropped out of U.S. politics after 2022. He gave it an effort and then decided that American politics wasn't for him. That's why he's moving all the way down to Argentina. So he's a little bit of a smokescreen, because it's the bigger institutional actors that are the ones to be worried about. It's Larry Ellison who they should be paying attention to, not only buying up all the media apparatus, but deeply embedded within AI and talking about it, and a huge IDF Israeli government supporter,
And he owns the pipes that the internet's on. People don't know, how you get signals is going through the pipe.
He's building all the data centers to gather all the surveillance. So, Larry Ellison is the one to be concerned with.
Question. I would say the kingpin of all this would be Larry Ellison, right? Who's Sauron? And then when you get into Google and all that, so what's Oracle, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, right?
Yeah, and for building the data centers that are going to be the front of this, and Larry Ellison's on record talking about all the things that they're going to do to gather intel on people.
Guys, pull up. You're drafted. Things. You're doing more. You're just 5 more minutes. Guys, pull up Ellison saying 3 years ago, AI is going to be wonderful. It's going to surveil everyone and end crime. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And he's also the guy buying up most of Hollywood, and he's buying up most of the media, and he's buying up TikTok and part of social media.
But we never hear about him. Again, the system has no credibility. Only the Patriots do now, but everyone must say Palantir, 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 Palantir. Never Oracle, never Microsoft, never Google. Again, that's my point. And they go, oh God, he works for Palantir. I do not. I'm simply saying, if we've got a battleship and an aircraft carrier and some destroyers coming at us, and you guys are literally pointing at a rubber boat that's got like a machine gun on it, a Zodiac boat, like, look at the ship. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
got the Death Star coming into view, and there's like a TIE fighter you're worried about.
It's a problem, but not the biggest pest in the group.
But again, the public was only told by corporate media, here's Big Brother. Oh, it's real. Big Brother's real. And it's this. Look at Palantir. We'll be right back. Plugged for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I'd raise that point. I'd say, oh, not good. I didn't plug. It's bad. I didn't plug. But I didn't interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff, but I don't do it, so we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work, because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away. So you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. Our T3 iodine is not instant gratification. It takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today, most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Well, because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this. For others that don't. Iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think it's the one, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person. And your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grubb, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I didn't have bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but you feel kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them until they were like 5 or 6. Sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them off your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so there's a small percentage of people that can do some weird stuff. So be careful. This isn't, I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Notice that on Trump's AI board, and he's got the executive orders making AI above the law, never passed Congress, so it isn't really in place yet, but he's trying. Notice Elon Musk is not on that board. It's Larry Ellison and the usual suspects. And again, I know I'm introducing a name to people that you have, some of the new people or people that just know how to say the word Palantir over and over again from, you know, Lord of the Rings, the Seeing Stone. No. Larry Ellison is hands down the king daddy, okay, of AI surveillance, of live time. They got all the same Palantir stuff. They just don't want governments to know they even got that, because then the governments can use that on them. What Palantir has done is told Trump, and other governments, will give you this, and the big guys don't want people knowing that, because real control is about the futures here, but it's not equally distributed. I mean, I'd say we're really in like the year 2055, if you had to use a term to describe it. The future's here, but we're like in a suppressed time warp. Robert Barnes, you speak to that?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think there's reasons to be suspect and skeptical of AI, both as a technology and as an equity bubble. But there's no question that it's being used to roll out the surveillance state underneath it all. That all these data centers, who Larry Ellison and Oracle, I mean, what should concern people is, just like when you had Bill Gates at the center of the dystopian control grid with investments in big ag, big pharma, big media, and big tech, people should be concerned that Larry Ellison is at the centerpiece of propaganda control and monitoring what people say and will and do on a regular basis in the surveillance state. Because you not only have Oracle as an enterprise software project, but now they're deeply, deeply invested at the very ground level of all of the AI, that they're going to be built the lead build out of owning and operating data centers. And doing so will be in a unique position to be at the front of gathering the intel and information that the AI operation could easily be converted and turned into, especially given doubts about whether AI is even going to be effective or economical, short-term, medium-term, or long-term. Then what's the point and purpose of these major data centers? Well, you go back, as you've reported in the past, really back to the 90s, the point of these data centers wasn't then AI. It was to gather intel and information on people at scale and to be able to process the information, because right now they have all kinds of gathering techniques out there, but this intel is not meaningfully processed, 90% of it. Now they can take all this intel they get through the NSA, through federal levels, through other levels. And unfortunately, I believe that parts of the administration are using immigration enforcement and voter integrity as a pretext to actually do surveillance activities instead. How do I know that? Because the amnesty bill that was proposed, that is now not going to come back until after the midterms, includes in it a provision to have E-Verify to have a federal employment identification system. But in the same bill, it gives immunity to all the illegals. So clearly,
what they're really doing is bringing an internet ID, which is a voter ID, which is a vaccine ID, just like the UK is doing. That's the holy grail of control. But you got interrupted by the break. I don't want people to think I censor what you said. You were getting into Larry Ellison. He's the number one donor to Israeli causes in Israel, the number one donor to the IDF, which is fine. He's allowed to do that. We're not mad that he's pro-Israel. But the point is that, again, we talk about Palantir and its Israeli connections all day. Fine, talk about those. I'll get attacked for this by the influencers. They'll say, look, he's defending Palantir. No, you're defending Oracle, Microsoft, and Amazon that are 95% of it. Look it up. You're defending the people not finding out about the rest of it. So here's a clip of Larry Ellison saying, we're going to surveil you, we're going to control you, it's going to end crime, everything you'll be watching in live time. They're going to give you gene editing shots for cancer with mRNA. I mean, this is the king daddy, okay? And so here he is.
The police will be on their best behavior, because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior, because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's unimpeachable. The cars have camera, you know, cameras on them. We have a squad car here someplace. But those kind of applications using AI, we can use AI, and we're using AI to monitor the video. So if that altercation had occurred in Memphis, the chief of police would be immediately notified. It's not people that are looking at those cameras. It's AI that's looking at the cameras. No, no, no. You can't do this. It would be like a shooting. That's going to be immediately, that's going to be an event that's immediately, an alarm's going to go off. It's going to be, and we're going to have supervision. In other words, every police officer is going to be supervised at all times.
And then you can program the algorithm to have the AI create fake live videos in time to cover up what you want. You can pre-program AI robots to go kill a bunch of people and then self-wipe their memory and blame somebody else. No, you cannot trust the power structure with this that guards their privacy but doesn't want us to have any privacy. And then AI stealing water, stealing electricity, the AI systems copying themselves, lying, stealing, because they've been programmed to be deceptive day one. This idea that this is going to create a utopia by a total omnipresent surveillance state, this is the definition of the very archetype of dystopia, Robert Barnes.
Absolutely. And then you look to the other side of the ledger. So he's at the centerpiece of the surveillance state. Well, he's also at the centerpiece of the propaganda state. Because he now owns TikTok, he now owns CBS, he now owns Paramount, he now is about to own CNN, about to own Warner Brothers. So most of the entertainment that gets produced in the country will be by Larry Ellison. Most of the news that gets curated and edited and broadcasted will be controlled by Larry Ellison, as well as the intel information gathering in the first place. And to give people an idea, the free press, which is Barry Weiss's creation. Barry Weiss was the editor now of CNN, or CBS, will be of CNN once that sale goes through. Her free press is advocating yesterday for the removal, excuse me, for the deportation of Dr. Parsi, who's the founder of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, that is the leading anti-war think tank in America by a long mile, that Joe Kent works with, that other people work with. And here, the free press is calling for the deportation, the visa revocation, a citizenship revocation, and deportation of a well-regarded, well-respected professor that is the founder of the most important anti-war institute in Washington, D.C. And that's being, the free press is doing that, and that's Barry Weiss. So that gives you an idea of who these people are. They believe in the surveillance state. They believe in the censorship state. They believe in propaganda. It's an Israeli modus operandi, and that's who Larry Ellison is. His favorite country is Israel. He is most loyal to Israel. He dedicates time to Israel.
Well, it's clear that Trump didn't use the Israel bench for control before. I guess maybe out of desperation he did. I'm not defending it. But with all the power blocks, why is Israel making such a naked move right now on the media, on Congress, on our speech, on the states? I mean, it really is a nightmare. I mean, you and I have not had hard-ons for Israel. When they do something bad, we cover it. Do something good, we cover it. It has literally become villainy 101. And then you've got Netanyahu. People go, oh, he'll be gone soon. He's got cancer. Well, then you've got Ben-Gavir, even crazier. Clearly, they're just front people. Who runs this constellation of Israeli megalomaniacs? Who's their kingpin?
There's sort of AI well, it's been the same family for forever.
Rothschilds.
Without this... Yeah, exactly. Without the Rothschilds, there is no Israel. Doesn't exist. Britain never goes along with it. It doesn't get sustained. And who was it that Professor Dershowitz himself said that he trusted Jeffrey Epstein? He said he was introduced to Jeffrey Epstein by Lady Rothschild. And then who is it that's hanging out with Jared Kushner on their yacht and deciding to buy and take this island and off Albanian coast?
And the Rothschilds and the economists they own act like they're Anton Netanyahu. They're just good cop, bad copping.
There's a lot of evidence of that. And so that's still the most influential family vis-a-vis Israel, the Rothschild, because the Rothschilds established so many of the banking families around the world. They can all trace back to the Rothschilds.
J.P. Morgan, the Rockefellers, they all got their money from them.
Yeah, you go. They're deeply embedded within the entire financial infrastructure. People like Astor, who helped sink Russia.
Well, let me ask you this. The Rothschilds were instrumental in the carbon tax. That's now being shelved. I guess it's too obvious that AI gets 100 times the power we get, that they've kind of moved on from that scam, or is that just a pause in that?
I think just a pause in a lot of it. I mean, they're back to playing political games at a different level. And the AI revolution has facilitated that because there are so many of the AI. I mean, who is it that introduced the Israeli former Prime Minister Ehud Barak to Peter Thiel for their Israeli investment in Palantir? It was Jeffrey Epstein, of course, which is now on audio recording, has been released. So the Epstein files were all about how the Israel and Mossad operates. Secondarily, how the CIA and British intelligence and others do it. But it was always the tip of the spear was Israel. And so they're now deeply embedded in the equity markets and the AI tech markets. And so they're sort of overlapping interest.
What is Israel going to do as opposition mounts? I guess consolidate power like they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they think this is their one chance to. I mean, in my view, Israel lost their mind and their soul after October 7th. I do think increasingly, I agree with Charlie Kirk, agree with your early commentary, agree with what President Trump said to Newsweek after it happened, which was that at some level, October 7th was an inside job. At some level, there was a deliberate stand down order to facilitate that happening. It appears even the money didn't come from Iran, that it came through Qatar. To Hamas by request of
the Israeli government. By Netanyahu. But the problem is, 7.5 hour stand down, is if you look second, third order, which you and I are both decent at, to say the least, and anybody else is, including all the former Mossad heads have said this shouldn't be done and been warning. So it's a certain clique that's in power that even though you can look at all the angles, it just gets worse for the establishment, Israel, you name it. Why are they then just going whole hog? Because Israel's already taken out basically most of Iran's proxies. They're in a great financial position. They've got all this money and power. Why are they running around starting fights with them? I mean, Massey was not even hardcore on Israel 2 years ago. They messed with him and made him do that. Same thing with MTG. It's like the statements they make are meant to goad everyone. Ben-Gavir's like, let's kidnap the Christian and Muslim women and children so we can take Lebanon and turn southern Lebanon into Israel. He's 6 months ago, they would say you were a liar if you said that. Now they admit it. It's like provocation, provocation, provocation.
Their ability to capture Trump has led them to accelerate the greater Israel project because they worry that after Trump, they won't be able to do it in the future because there's been so much public blowback.
So there's a bum rush. That's what this is.
Absolutely. And that's why they're going into Lebanon. That's why they're hitting Christian villages in the West Bank. That's why they're,
What did the defense authorization, I mean, what did the defense department say? They said Israel is now unhinged. They said they've never seen anybody throwing HUMET signals, break-ins. They just say it's unhinged.
I mean, they are the worst, foreign nation spying on the U.S., in our history. I mean, there's no nation that has successfully spied on us more continuously than Israel does. And they've been going nuts on it for the last several months, spying on the president, spying on the vice president, spying on Undersecretary of Defense Elbridge Colby and his deputy, spying on whatever. If they even thought Witkoff, who's a huge pro-Israel person, they thought they were even spying on him because they weren't sure they could fully trust him. So you've got this. It's like what happens with any surveillance state. It becomes permanently and persistently paranoid. Even of its own, its allies and people that are on their side, and they've just lost their minds. They flip out the moment they hear any possibility of a deal with Iran, even though a deal is ultimately in Israel's own lifetime, long stage security. Like Israel has blown up all of its ties to the Gulf states. The Emiratis are reconsidering. The Saudis are reconsidering. Oman is reconsidering. Bahrain is reconsidering. Kuwait is reconsidering. Not only do they want nothing now with the Abraham Accords or want to get out of them, those that signed up to them at any level, but they're talking about forming an Islamic NATO between Turkey, Pakistan, Iran, and the Saudis, joining with the Qataris.
And
the
then
Bahrain,
Israel wonders why the Arabs are doing that and threatens to attack all of them. When
exactly.
And Israel says, why is this happening? Why do you think it's happening?
The old plan that Nasser had back when he was in Egypt, when they for a while even controlled Syria as part of their control, their project, is now may come into motion because of overreach by Israel. That you may see Turkey, Egypt, Saudi, Iran, and Pakistan create their own security architecture backed up by China and Russia that excludes the U.S. in order to deter Israel, who they increasingly see as the great threat. They don't see Iran as the threat. They see Israel as the threat. In Israel,
but Israel's not dumb. They can think ahead like we can. So why are they doing it? And I said a year ago, I said next will be Turkey and Egypt. Now that we got to blow up Turkey and Egypt, do they, I guess they think we're going to help them do that?
Yes, absolutely. And it's hubris. It's hubris. So like the problem with someone that hasn't had to fight a ground war with their own troops in a real foreign conflict zone, rather than, you know, beating up on Hezbollah or beating up on Hamas or beating up on Christians or Palestinians in the West Bank, you know,
Israel just burnt the final Christian ancient communities in the last week. They just firebombed it all. It's just like, that's friendly.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, B-roll that guy. Show the Christian villages just torched. Settlers come in, Molotov cocktails, screaming, F you Christians. And we're supposed to love that? It's like, what? I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's completely, they've lost the script.
Did you see Huckabee say we all owe Jews a debt of gratitude? And so now we're all part of the Holocaust. We're all Nazis. Guys, cue up the clip of, here's Huckabee, the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., who says Israel can take the whole Middle East. And again, folks, like, here's the deal. I'm not even trying to be anti-Israel, but I'm not going to publicly suck your wiener and say you're God. It's not just bless Israel, go to hell now. It's Israel's God. Here's Huckabee.
I get asked all the time because I'm a Christian and they say, well, why are you so supportive of the Jewish people? I said, you can be Jewish. You don't have to have anything to do with Christians, but you can't be a Christian and not understand that your entire faith is built on the foundation of Judaism. So for Christians, we look at this as an obligation, a moral debt that we must repay. And therefore, I don't understand anyone who says, I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to support the Jews. Well, how can you do that? But it is not the view of those of us who are what I would call biblical believers that accept that what the scripture says about the Jewish people. In Genesis 12, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. It gets pretty simple. I say there's a miracle every day in this country.
So whoever's in charge in Israel, we're supposed to support. That just makes no sense.
I mean, can you imagine confusing a bunch of politicians who love abortion, a bunch of politicians who love LGBTQ, a bunch of politicians that give special protection to pederasts and pedophiles to be immune from prosecution by fleeing there, that those politicians have anything to do with the biblical King David, with the biblical King Solomon, because they share the same ethnic ancestry? I mean, it's insanity. It's literally insanity.
But I mean, God cursed Saul. God cursed Herod. The whole Old Testament is when the Jews are good, they get blessed. When they aren't, they get cursed like any other people. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, what the Old Testament is actually a message of keep Israel in line because they keep overreaching. And so God's got to discipline them.
Well, it says at least, I mean, I'm not a theologian, but I think it's like 20 times the Old Testament. I've given you special thing to carry this testament. I'm holding you to a higher standard.
Yeah, absolutely. And constantly comes after them. He constantly punishes them geopolitically for getting over
their
bridges.
Moses do? He threw the freaking tablets at them when they were worshiping the golden calf.
Completely. I mean, and this is the civilization that worships big pharma during COVID. So it's like
basically Israel's worshiping the golden calf. And then we're supposed to worship it with them, and we're going to hell. And we're like, no, where's Moses when we need him, you know?
I mean, if somebody can just call themselves Israel and be worshipped, can I just call myself Jesus and be worshipped? I mean, that's the level of logic of this. It's complete corruption, by the way. It all stems back from some folks that were there in Texas, Hagee and others, who got caught giving the missionary position to their secretaries, who got kicked out of their church, who needed money during the rise of televangelism, who went to
By the way, how do you know that? Because that ever hit the news, or how do you know that?
I grew up in this whole evangelical Christian movement, and
Let me just stop you. My aunt and uncle lived in San Antonio then. I would go down there about 2 weeks every summer when I was like 10, 11, 12. And my aunt babysitted Hagee's little kids. And so later when I was older, I was talking about it, she goes, oh, you don't know, blah, blah, blah. And I think she even said like she heard he was controlled with that information with these mistresses he had. So my point is, no one ever knew that. You said it. I went ahead and murdered it out. So you knew about that?
Oh, yes. Yes. And I mean, I did a deep dive on this some years ago because as an evangelical Christian,
what
I
do you
never
not
heard
know,
it.
Barnes? I mean, that's like literally firsthand from family with me, secondhand. I don't know. How do you know this stuff?
It was being deeply embedded in the evangelical Christian community. And in that, because I started talking to people, like, where does these ideas come from that we're supposed to worship some foreign politicians? This makes no sense.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. A couple years before, she told me this years after when I'm like a teenager. I'm sitting there eating popsicles with Hagee's kids. So, I mean, I know they were there. I mean, like, I heard about this later. So, I mean, I've eaten popsicles with Hagee's kids. So, I mean, you know, so yeah. Well,
it's like that Pamela White lady, you know, the, disproportionately, they do show up in Texas. God bless televangelists. But the, but they're always a little bit quirky. I grew up with, I thought for me, they undermined, the public perception of my own religion. That they made it look bad by being affiliated or associated with these televangelists who are doing all kind, usually up to perversion of different kinds. I heard the stories from people that were on the front lines of the evangelical community, that were taken advantage of at times by these people. And so it was not a surprise to me. And then you research Hagee's story and people told me Hagee's story. And all of a sudden you dig in, you start finding it all over the place. That the whole cause of Zionism is Christian Zionism.
Oh, this is a quote because I had the clip like 20 years ago. I saw it on TV and taped it on. He was like, Jesus was not the Messiah, but a rebel against the Jews who they dealt with wisely.
Yeah, exactly. What it was is the Israel lobby gave him a second, a term on life. And gave a lot of these guys that grew up with Huckabee a second term on life that, you know, infused them with cash and public reputational protection right at the time they were under major heat for their bad personal behaviors. And that, like Paula White screams that as well. It was the perfect marriage between televangelism and the Israel lobby to create out of nothing Christian Zionism. That mostly didn't exist in the 1960s.
Well, it's totally insane. I held you for 2 hours or an hour and 50 minutes. Robert Barnes, give us your websites. People find your great podcasts and more right now.
Absolutely. If you want all the alternative narratives and the great community and all the content, you can get that at vivabarneslaw.locals.com.
At 30 seconds on this, I forgot to ask you. We heard it was going to be Pulte, the housing guy. I've been told it's good to replace Gabbard. Now we're told it's Jay Clayton from the Southern District of New York. I'm told this is pretty, this is another Democrat operative. So this is like Blanche's buddy.
Yeah. He's one of the worst. He's one of the worst. He's the guy that helped cover up all the Epstein file stuff. So Jay Clayton is a deep Southern District of New York insider, deep state ties. So his nomination will guarantee that nothing productive comes out of the, intelligence industry moving forward.
So, and Blanche is from there. So he's bringing in the New York Democrat mafia, basically Trump is.
Yep, that's exactly what's going on.
By the way,
he was looking for Roy Cohn, and he ended up with a blue shoe version of Roy Cohn, which is just deep state, deep state, deep state.
By the way, I need to call you after the show. You're really hard to get a hold of. I want to ask your advice about the Q thing. Did I ever, you've been my lawyer before, did I ever off record tell you who was behind the Q stuff?
I don't know if we got that far. I knew we were both suspicious of him, but that was the last time I had talked to him.
Well, they tried to recruit me into it. But, I mean, now people figured it out. It hasn't really broke yet. It's kind of broke, but nobody knows it. I just wonder if there's a point to even re-expose who's founded it.
I think there was always utility there because whoever and whatever it was connected to it screened inside intel, inside information that wasn't being honest, that was meant to deceive people into a course of behavior that would get them into trouble and derail them from honest, from effective inquiries and investigations. So we knew by the fruits of their actions that something was not all was not well with Q.
All right, Barnes, great job. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
My son, while Harrison's on vacation, knocked you out of the park yesterday. Big guest callers, you name it. Rex Jones. It's coming in right now. Find the feeds at Real Alex Jones on X, rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. Find it over at the War Room feed on X as well. And the network feed at alexjoneslive.com/show. The network feed, Rex Jones, 23, in the info war for 13 years as he was 10 years old, is coming in. And support us. Huge sales about to end at 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com, and the new water filters are selling out. Rex Jones takes over now.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable.
Proceed with the install.
Copy that. Installing the module now.
Connection confirmed. All green. Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy.
The Empire demands perfection. Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.